WGNU News Time is now 6:09. We'll have a look at the weather right after this.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Every Friday morning at 7, I am joined by a different black journalist to take a look back at the events of the week and how they impacted upon the community of African descent.
This week, our guest is Michael Fauntroy, specialist in urban policy with the George Mason School of Public Policy.
So join me for Looking Black every Friday morning at 7, exclusively on The Wake-Up Call.
WGNU News Time 610, the weather forecast for this Friday, the 21st day of October. Cloudy skies with some drizzle and a few light showers this morning, with the high this afternoon only around 60 degrees. For tonight, cloudy skies, low in the upper 40s, and tomorrow mostly cloudy, continued cool with a high near 60 degrees. Looking ahead to Sunday, partly cloudy skies, a bit cooler, with temperatures only about 55 degrees. Right now at the WGNU studios in the Central West End, we're recording 48 degrees here at the top of the Congress and Senate building. WGNU News Time is 6:11. Stay tuned. We've got the Friday edition of the Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown coming up next here on AM 920 WGNU. Next on Mondays at 9, why is the government giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton and its subsidiaries to rebuild the Gulf Coast when it's already under investigation for fraud, bribery, and other nice things? The Bush administration would not enforce accountability standards for Halliburton and Iraq, so let them perpetrate more fraud on American soil? What kind of a government are we running? Join Charlie Cray from Halliburton Watch for a discussion on the crooks and cronies of Halliburton on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Learn about Missouri's largest game mammals, white-tailed deer, at the Columbia Bottom Conservation Area, 801 Strodman Road in St. Louis, on Saturday, October 22nd from 3 to 6 p.m. Spend the evening watching white-tailed deer through your own binoculars or our spotting scopes. No reservations are required. Something for deer watchers from WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4 Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of The Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free. My long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. Because we have much to talk about. I was, of course, you know I was fussing all day long yesterday about that stupid rule in the NBA. That stupid racist rule in the NBA. Basketball players having to dress as the corporate tells them to dress. I'm fussing all day about that. And then I started thinking about really what other things were going on that might be slipping under the radar about wrongdoing being done, being ordered, being tolerated, being encouraged by men in suits. And I wonder how much longer this country can hold it together. That this country cannot just disintegrate. If you keep doing wrong, if you keep ordering wrong, if you keep pushing wrong, if you keep embracing wrong, if you keep trying to hide wrong, trying to ignore wrong, there no good can come of it. No good can come of it. A number of Iraqis apprehended two Americans disguised in Arab dress as the Americans in Arab dress tried to blow up a car trapped in the middle of a residential area of Baghdad. Do you hear what I'm saying? And this is not the only, it's not just Americans. The Iraqi police in the southern Iraqi city of Al-Bazar arrested two Britons that they caught attempting to cause an explosion in the city. The Brits were taken into custody by the Iraqi police, only to be broken out of prison by an assault of British occupation troops. Now, why would people feel, why would Americans, why would Brits feel that they could do such a thing? Let me move to a story out of Australia. I've seen this footage. An Australian news team, the SBS, has a broadcast of footage of what it says is United States soldiers burning two dead Taliban fighters. And it gets worse. The film shows them burning these bodies. They're burning them as the bodies faced Mecca. And then using the charred and smoking corpses in a propaganda campaign in southern Afghanistan. What's the question that's always asked? Why do they hate us? This was broadcast on Wednesday night. It's a report saying that the U.S. soldiers burned the bodies for hygiene reasons. But then a U.S. psychological operations unit broadcast a propaganda message on loudspeakers to Taliban fighters, taunting them to retrieve their dead and fight. This is so low down and so bad and so wicked and so rotten that a Pentagon spokesperson, do you hear what I'm saying? The Pentagon said, these are very serious allegations, and if they're true, they're very troublesome. How bad does it have to be for the Pentagon, the United States Pentagon, in the era of an invasion, an unprovoked invasion, preemptive strike into Iraq, to admit to? The footage of the burning corpses was shot by an Australian photojournalist who was embedded with a U.S. unit. The footage shows flames licking the two charred corpses, their legs and arms outstretched, and a group of U.S. soldiers standing by watching from a rocky ledge. Footage showed two U.S. soldiers reading two messages from a notebook that they said had been earlier broadcast. Attention, Taliban, you are cowardly dogs. That was the first reader. And the reader was subsequently, and this is a soldier reading this, the soldier was subsequently identified as a psychological operations specialist by the name of Sergeant Jim Baker. You allowed your fighters to be laid down facing west and burnt. You are too scared to retrieve their bodies. This proves that you are the lady boys we always believed you would be. You attack and run away like women. You call yourself talibs, but you are a disgrace to the Muslim religion. You bring shame upon your family. Come and fight like men instead of the cowardly dogs that you are. Some people out there right now might be saying, oh, good deal. All's fair in love and war. Well, no, it's not. All is not fair in love. And all is not fair in war as well. This is a violation of the rules of warfare. This is a violation of the rules of warfare. We can't do this. And here's how the report has gone down. One American, one Afghan soldiers, and two Taliban fighters were killed in a firefight near the village of Ganbayez in southern Afghanistan. The report says that the next day, the bodies of the two Taliban fighters were laid out facing west and burned in a deliberate desecration of Muslim beliefs. The cameraman who shot the video said the soldiers claimed they were told to burn the bodies for hygiene reasons because they had been out in the open for 24 hours and had started to decompose. But the report says that the U.S. soldiers then broadcast an inflammatory message over the loudspeakers to taunt and bait the enemy. people. If the bodies were burned, and if the members of a psychological operations team then used the burnings to taunt the enemy with a broadcast message, that would be in a violation of the U.S. Army procedure and an apparent violation of military law. I believe that you cannot hold on to wickedness and not get dirty. You cannot hold on to the justification of this war. You cannot participate in the in this war and not get dirty. I believe that I don't believe that soldiers would not have done this to white Germans. They wouldn't have done it. That there was a particular ease about doing it to people that people who are Muslim. There's an ease in this country. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. My number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can check me out in the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. And we're also iPod-ed there as well. Get to me. Dolores, good morning.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I have a friend that works for the state, and that he was saying how they are cutting so many people's benefits. It's pathetic, Liz. He was saying how one late girl, young girl, she has four kids. She only makes $20,000 a year. They cut her food stamps from $400 a month, Liz, to $30 a month for four kids. And she's under the poverty line where the guidelines. You know, and he was also saying how people that need, Matt Blunt had cut all of these services for people that need walkers and special needs for some of the problems that, like the one man, he was saying, you have to lift him up in the bed with a restraint and all of this stuff. All of that's cut. And the one thing I'm glad I heard yesterday, that Michael Jackson don't live in this country anymore. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know until yesterday. He was called for jury duty, and they were saying, well, we can't call him for jury duty because he had gave up this. He don't live in this country. He lives outside of the country.
Wait a minute, did the article say that he was no longer a citizen or simply because he was out of the country?
They didn't say he was out. They said he lives in this country now. And I can't think of the name. Somebody else that heard it.
Okay,
I can't think of the name of the country, but they said he do not live in this country anymore.
Well, no, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'm hearing it wrong, but I heard them say that his lawyer would have to get in touch with him because they had called him for jury duty.
I understand that, and what I am suggesting is that it's perhaps because he is out of the country that he cannot be called back for jury duty.
Let me go look.
I will go look and see,
yeah,
and see what else.
But
what
they
I
mean. Did say he didn't live in this country. Maybe the reporters. Because I was surprised when I heard it. I said,
okay.
I'm glad he's gone, but I didn't know he was gone.
Okay. I'll look that up.
All right.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back.
I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life, even though the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Every Friday morning at 7, I am joined by a different black journalist to take a look back at the events of the week and how they impacted upon the community of African descent.
This week, our guest is Michael Fauntroy, specialist in urban policy with the George Mason School of Public Policy.
So join me for Looking Black every Friday morning at 7, exclusively on The Wake Up Call.
And good morning. It's 6:30 here at Radio 920 WGNU. Time for a look at traffic on the half hour. This report being brought to you by Rhodes Furniture. That main accident has been cleared on Highway 55 between Route M and Imperial. On 55 between Carondelet and the Brewery, there's normal traffic volume at this hour. Eastbound 44 between Highway 141 and 270, no problems reported there. Eastbound 40 between Chesterfield Parkway and McKnight, traffic is on the move. No problems to report on eastbound 70 between 370 and 270. No problems on northbound 270 between Sappington and Dougherty Ferry. Also, westbound 270 between Bellefontaine and New Florissant, that's in good shape at this time. Normal traffic volume on westbound 255 between Telegraph Road and Lemay Ferry. And downtown, westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. Highway 64, just before 5570, no problems there either. And the Kingbridge traffic coming onto the Laclede's Landing area is in good shape. This report brought to you by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and is closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, and St. Peter's, as well as Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices, Rhodes Furniture. Taking a look now at the WGNU weather forecast for your Friday, the 21st day of October. Cloudy skies, some scattered drizzle this morning, and a few scattered showers throughout the day. Cool with a high only around 60. Tonight cloudy, low in the upper 40s. And tomorrow, much like today, cloudy with a high near 60. We're recording 48 degrees at the studios here at WGNU. It is 6:32 on your Friday morning, and we'll be back to more of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right after these important messages.
Direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888. Presented by Audi.
Friday morning on the Wake Up Call, Lisa Graves of the ACLU will be with us during the 8 o'clock hour to talk about another encroachment on civil liberties courtesy of the Patriot Act. Did you know that the FBI has been making mistakes on wiretaps but doesn't have to account for them because of the Patriot Act? The agency doesn't even have to disclose there have been problems. The two houses of Congress are working on a new bill that will reauthorize the Patriot Act. Well, they need to clean this up and other problematic provisions that are in it. That's what we're talking about Friday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
A struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days. In the New Jerusalem, you know it's hot. Don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. You know it's hot. Don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
The truth will set you free. Ms. Brown, I have two things I want to enlighten you on. the last Cardinal games that was played in the Busch Stadium, did you hear about the stealing that went down?
No.
Oh, yes, Ms. Brown. They said that the news media built it up. Security will be there, and they don't plan on taking anything. But, Ms. Brown, check this out. Guess somebody walked out there with a bathroom stall door, and no one said a thing.
Well, I guess we need to call some kind of doctor. Mm-hmm. Why would you, out of all the things, they took a bathroom stall door?
Ma'am?
They took a bathroom stall door?
Yeah, you heard what I said, Ms. Brown.
They must not have been on their medication properly. Why a bathroom stall door?
That's what's missing from down there. They said some other stuff. Telephones came up missing. Some other stuff came up missing, too. And then where was security doing, Ms. Brown? They weren't on their job, were they?
They're watching the game, I guess.
I guess so, Ms. Brown.
Watching the game. And I think that there is a lot to be said about karma. This was the last Camo X broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
This was the last game played in the old stadium. And this was the last game of the series to decide whether or not they were going to the World Series. And how'd that work out for them?
Mm-hmm.
All that karma with the stadium and forcing the new stadium on folks and missing an opportunity to make more money off of folks because of baseball. Weren't the Cardinals supposed to be the best team in the whole doggone league?
Ask Tony La Russa that, Ms. Brown.
I gotta get that. He's supposed to be the best team in the whole league. Apparently not.
Another thing I want to bring to your attention, Ms. Brown. There's a church called Shalom City of Peace, pastored by Dr. Freddie Clark. He's bringing a 2005 Men and Women Conference, Fall Conference here, the 28th and 30th. And guess where he's going to take it to, Ms. Brown?
No, he's not taking it to the Adams Farm.
Oh, you go to the end of class, Ms. Brown. I told you you couldn't fix stupid. And some of his guests are going to be, Ms. Brown, Carol Daniel, KMX radio personality, Tavis Smiley, radio and television personality and activist, Brian Cage, gospel recording artist, Dr. Ralph Douglas West.
All up in the Adams Mark Hotel.
Ricky Smiley and Chris and Kyle, and somebody named T-O-N-E-X, all up in Adams Mark. Do you think we should alert Carol Daniel, Ms. Brown?
Not my job.
You live here. Ms. Brown, you have a lovely day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Now, I do want to give you all a heads up. We're going to be starting something this week that we've never done before. It's going to be kind of like a wake-up call. I want to give out some wake-up call because we care packages. We're going to do this in the 9 o'clock hour in the last 15 minutes of the show. Well, this is our way of, because we care, giving back to you. But also, we want to make sure that we're all, you know, really paying attention to what's going on the wake-up call. So in the last 15 minutes of the show, the last hour and the last 15 minutes, I'm going to be asking you all some questions about the shows that we have done this past week. And those who can call in and answer the question will get a wake-up call because we care package. And in that package, we're going to have one package is going to have a book, Bush on the Couch, a WGNU t-shirt, a Liz Brown wake-up call mug, a Liz Brown wake-up call refrigerator magnet, and maybe some other stuff in there too. That's a Because We Care package, and I will be asking some questions about the shows from this week. And if you call in and you're the first person to answer the question on the show in the last 15 minutes of the last hour of this show, you will walk away with a wake-up call Because We Care package. So you want to stay tuned to the last half an hour of the show and the last 15 minutes of the show. We're going to be checking to see if you've been paying attention. And if you have, you will get a wake-up call Because We Care package. We also have another package with another book in it, too. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this opportunity to get an extraordinary million-dollar value. Because We Care package. So stay tuned for that. And don't forget, We're coming up on the anniversary of the blanket drive, the wake-up call, second annual blanket drive. I'm asking all of you to put $20 a week, and if you can afford, put more, put $30 a week away. We have blankets that we're going to be getting for the homeless again. They were $5. You can go to the stores and get them at $5 a blanket. And we're trying to get 5,000 blankets this year. So start thinking about that. You can even start getting your blankets now. It's going to be on November 18th and 19th. 18th and 19th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Saturday we will deliver the blankets. Friday we will take them in. We will be brought. We are partnering once again with our friends at the George Washington Carver House, Carver House. So we will be doing a live broadcast on that Friday. We will have, we've had so many volunteers that we will have everything covered with the blanket drop-off. We'll have people waiting at the station to take blankets in. We will have people outside the curb, outside of George Washington Carver House. I'm so proud of so many of you that have called in and asked to be volunteers. You're going to get a wonderful T-shirt, a blanket drive T-shirt for your efforts. So we will have this thing down to a science. You will be able to just drive up to the station here at WGNU, drop your blankets off, curbside pickup. We have so many volunteers. I'm very excited. And you'll have curbside pickup at Carver, George Washington Carver House, too. But if you want to come in, we'll have coffee and donuts for you to enjoy while we're taking in the blankets for the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. Put it on your calendar. I am very, very proud of us for what we did last year. Let's do more this year. 18th and 19th of November, the second annual Wake Up Call George Washington Carver House Blanket Drive. I'm very excited about this, and I hope that you all are too. So just be thinking about it now. Put $20 a week away. Put $20 a week. That's five blankets plus tax. That's five blankets. And we're also going to do something else very special. If you want to donate blankets in the name of your family, anybody that donates $100 worth of blankets or more in the name of a loved one, in the memory of a loved one, we're going to put that on a T-shirt for next year. They will be immortalized on a T-shirt for next year. That memory will be immortalized on a T-shirt for next year. So start thinking about it. Start thinking about asking your friends. And we also, starting next week, you will be able to get a pledge card about how many blankets that you are going to bring to the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. And we'll be reading the pledge cards out over the air. So please, come on down to the station starting Monday. Well, we can fax you a pledge card to get people in your business, in your office to pledge, or your senior citizens home, your synagogue, your church to pledge blankets to the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. So get your pledge cards next week. Start putting that $20 away. Start figuring out how many blankets you're going to give. Start figuring out that you want to give a bunch of blankets in the name and the memory and the love of a family member. You can do all of that. So that's coming up on November 18th and 19th. Mark your calendar. Come on down. Share the morning with us as we broadcast live from George Washington Carver House. It's going to be another extraordinary, spectacular blanket drive. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it in my bones. And any of you that want to donate your time, volunteer, give us a call here right now at 454-6660. Joe will take down your name and your phone number. 454, and this is a shout out to the men out there. The ladies are stepping up to the plate, y'all. The ladies are stepping up to the plate. Want to see some more men out here? Want to see some more men coming on in and helping us out here on the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive, second annual Blanket Drive. So if you want to volunteer, call us at 454-6660. Joe will take your name during the hours of the show. The Joe will take your name, or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Joe will be taking your name and phone numbers. We're looking for some more men.
Don't let the lady do that.
My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. We're going to take a break. I'll be back.
Regional Exposure 2005 is the place to be on Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square. Just one stop to see exhibits that represent hundreds of manufacturers, distributors, and services from around the region. Whether you're looking for new siding at the Anchor Siding Display or that unique craft item, product, or service you didn't even know you wanted or needed, you'll find it at Regional Exposure 2005. Plus, lively entertainment and dozens of prizes to be given away all weekend. Regional Exposure 2005, Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square. Sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. More details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Washington. An aide to former Secretary of State Colin Powell said a small clique in the Bush administration has managed to hijack America's foreign policy, leaving this country weaker and more isolated in the world community. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Chief of Staff for Secretary Powell, said the United States is now paying the consequences of making decisions in secret by a cabal between Vice President Cheney and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. He says the detainee abuse at Abu Ghraib and other institutions is a perfect example of the decision-making problem that plagues the administration. Wilkerson says Condoleezza Rice exacerbated the problems by sucking up to the president to the extent that she would not give him the best advice, only the advice he wanted to hear so she could stay on his good side. He also says this President Bush does not have a handle on international relationships the way his father did, and this Bush does not seem to have much of an interest for such matters either. And Dateline Washington, Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania is not happy with the way Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers answered a questionnaire pertaining to her legal career and background. Specter says both he and Senator Patrick Leahy feel she did not provide enough information, and in fact, some of her answers range from incomplete to downright insulting. Some issues they want more details about include her suspension from the bar in Washington for not paying her annual dues. They also wanted her to give more direction on how she might handle cases dealing with the Bush administration, where she now serves as a White House counsel. Myers' legal career has been made up almost entirely of representing large corporate clients. This is your wake-up call global news update. Always wanted to own your own home? Who doesn't? Ever worried about qualifying? Who hasn't? Never thought you'd qualify? Here's the answer to that question. Well, you will. Just call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Good credit, bad credit, no credit at all. Owner financing on beautiful rehabbed houses. Call Lisa Krumpaski at 629-7830 for the answer to your home buying question. 314-629-7830 or mail ldkpc@hotmail.com.
Hi, this is Liz Brown. Every Friday morning at 7, I am joined by a different black journalist to take a look back at the events of the week and how they impacted upon the community of African descent.
This week, our guest is Michael Fauntroy, specialist in urban policy with the George Mason School of Public Policy.
So join me for Looking Black every Friday morning at 7, exclusively on The Wake Up Call.
Always wanted to own your own home? Who doesn't? Ever worried about qualifying? Who hasn't? Never thought you'd qualify? Here's the answer to that question. Well, you will. Just call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Good credit, bad credit, no credit at all. owner financing on beautiful rehabbed houses. Call Lisa Krumpaski at 629-7830 for the answer to your home buying question. 314-629-7830 or mail ldkpc@hotmail.com.
Hello, some of you may remember a program on WGNU called Against the Flow. Well, I'm back. Join me every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for a live call-in radio program where we discuss true Christianity and not the false doctrines of men. That's Sunday mornings right here at 11 a.m. on WGNU. Be there.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, Lisa Graves of the ACLU will be with us during the 8 o'clock hour to talk about another encroachment on civil liberties courtesy of the Patriot Act. Did you know that the FBI has been making mistakes on wiretaps but doesn't have to account for them because of the Patriot Act? The agency doesn't even have to disclose there have been problems. The two houses of Congress are working on a new bill that will reauthorize the Patriot Act. Well, they need to clean this up and other problematic provisions that are in it. That's what we're talking about Friday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Have y'all seen Tom DeLay's mugshot? It's a big old smiling face. He's in a suit and tie. His hair is parted on the side and combed all neat and clean and straight. He looked like he think he's at a fundraiser. Maybe somebody didn't get the memo to him that you're being mugshotted. And what I'd like for you all, your homework assignment is, with regard to this Tom DeLay question, your homework assignment is this. I want you to, when you listen to, when you watch, when you catch, when you see a news story on Tom DeLay, I want you to count how many times they accuse, in the news story, accuse the prosecutor of being partisan. How many times in the story that Tom DeLay's side of the story is stated over and over and over again? And how many times that there is a balance in response to Tom DeLay? It's one thing for Tom DeLay in a story, if we're looking for fair and balanced, or at least neutral, for Tom DeLay to say this is partisan politics, that's fine. He can say that. He can absolutely say that. But the problem is that when you don't have somebody from the other side saying, no, it's not. This prosecutor has prosecuted more Democrats than he has Republicans. The prosecutor believes that this is a very strong case. Both of those statements need to be in the story, but all we hear is partisan politics from the king of partisan politics. From the king of partisan politics. These are amazing times. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. Where else are you going to get your shopping on this weekend? 20% off of all kinds of wonderful items in the Sears right there at 3425 Union. Black-owned, black-operated. There's some great deals on refrigerators, on ovens, on... It's time to try to get in shape for the holidays before the holidays put you out of shape. Get your treadmill at the Sears at 3425 Union. Black-owned, black-operated. Listen, folks, don't go to the mall. Don't go to the internet. Go to the Sears at 3425 Union. You have an apartment building that you're putting up and you need some washer, dryers, refrigerators, etc. Get on over to the Sears at 3425 Union. Black-owned, black-operated, Jerome Williams. And when you get your shop on, tell them I told you to. Listen, folks, we just have so much stuff to talk about here. I'm looking at the front page of the New York Times today. Front page of the New York Times today. The rumors are almost reaching critical mass. Critical mass. Rumor has it that indictments are coming out next week. And what is fascinating is it's kind of like what happened with the Nixon, with Richard Nixon. The Watergate story kind of fizzled off the screen for a little bit, but as it started getting its tentacles, the Watergate story, into the White House, it started picking up steam. And for all practical purposes, those of us out here in the world of politics land, we know that once we start talking about Karl Rove, we're talking about George W. Bush. But check this out, front page of the New York Times today. Patrick Fitzgerald, the special counsel, is focusing on whether Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, chief of staff for Vice President Dick Cheney, sought to conceal their actions, mislead prosecutors, mislead lawyers involved with the case. Fitzgerald is considering perjury, obstruction of justice, and false statement counts. And all of this suggests, for those that are paying attention to this and all over this country, that the prosecutor may believe that the evidence presented in a 22-month grand jury investigation, of which most of the people on there are black women, I expect some stuff to happen. I expect some heads to roll. Yes, I do. 22-month grand jury inquiry shows that the two White House aides sought to cover up their actions. According to the front page story of the New York Times, Rove and Libby have been advised they may be in serious legal jeopardy. And Fitzgerald has begun to narrow the possibility of charges. He won't make up his mind about any charges until next week. Next week. Friends and associates of Rove and Scooter continued to express hope that the prosecutor would conclude that the evidence was too fragmentary and that it would be too difficult to prove that Rove or Libby had intended to misinform the grand jury. But it certainly is messing up the game of those in the White House. They can't keep their troops together. With Scooter on the phone all the time to his lawyer and with Karl Rove huddled down someplace with his lawyer, it's hard for government to operate. When you're always talking to your lawyers and trying to shift your money around and trying to prepare yourself for a whole new phase of your life, that's the life in front of judges, juries, and in courtrooms. You got a little more. You have a few other things to do than to decide or try to make something positive out of the nomination of Harriet Myers. Or as I should say, Harriet, do you like me? Circle one for yes, circle two for no. Harriet, I think George W. Bush is the most brilliant man I've ever met. Harriet, you need to get out more. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with Looking Black. Stay with me.
I will never say that Congress is being made.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU.
Here comes Wilma Wind, whipping up in Cancun. The Category 4 storm has the Mexican Peninsula in its sights. ABC's David Curley is there.
Cancun here, we're already seeing very, very big waves, a lot of wind, a lot of rain. And the storm is moving so slowly that we could see the eye wall when it arrives later today sit over Cancun for 6 to 8 hours. That means 6 to 8 hours of pounding. Rain and floods. It's going to be a long, dangerous day here in Cancun.
Wilma's expected to take a swipe at Florida's western coast sometime Monday afternoon. The lawyer for one of Saddam Hussein's co-defendants has been found dead a day after he was kidnapped, 2 days after the start of the trial. ABC's Jim Sciutto has more from Baghdad.
Fear had already been a factor in this trial, particularly for the prosecuting attorneys and the judges. Of 14 of them who took part in Wednesday's trial, only two of them agreed to be named. And in the television coverage of the trial, just the presiding judge's face was shown. The others worried that if their names or faces were known, that they might become the targets of attacks.
Witnesses say he was abducted by armed men in suits and ties who said they were with the Interior Ministry. San Francisco's police chief calls it an extremely tragic and senseless situation. A woman accused of throwing her three sons into the San Francisco Bay has been arrested. Relatives say the mother was battling schizophrenia and had once said she was going to feed the boys to the sharks.
We've lost three young boys. We have a family that is in grief, and we have actually a community, not just in San Francisco, but across the country, that has been tremendously touched by the sadness of this situation.
San Francisco Police Chief Heather Fong. The mother is in a jail hospital. And late word, we now know who the Powerball winners are. The big jackpot, Steve and Caroline West of Medford, Oregon. $340 million. This is ABC News.
It was a Tuesday, colder and darker than a hockey puck, and I had to get a message out before sunrise. Though old man Winter mocked me, I wouldn't be denied.
What'd you do?
I threw back a set of sheets with a thread count higher than the stars and slid off a mattress that held me like a woman. An email from the hotel room.
Brand new beds, same old beaten path. Fairfield Inn, for travelers who know.
The rules of the road.
It's the Marriott way.
My friend Sarah and I are on a church trip, talking about signing up for the new Medicare prescription drug coverage.
I'm not sure what to do.
There's a lot of help out there. You can call 1-800-MEDICARE or compare the drug plans at Medicare.gov.
Stevie could show me.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there's help in the community. There was somebody at the church last week.
Was he good looking?
Sign up for Medicare prescription drug coverage begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Game one of the World Series is tomorrow in Chicago. The Pale Sox versus the Stros. ABC's Todd Ant. Talk with some fans.
Who are you rooting for?
Sox, of course.
You're going to go for the Sox? Yeah. Are you?
He's a Cubs fan.
Oh, he is?
I am, but I'm rooting for Chicago team. That's yeah. What I am. Yeah.
So, in other words, you know, it doesn't matter who gets in. You'll go. You'll follow along.
I'm just happy that the Sox or somebody from Chicago is going to the World Series.
You know the power of your morning cup of coffee. A would-be carjacker in Bluffton, South Carolina, may have a new respect for it after his alleged victim used a highly caffeinated form of self-defense. Police say the suspect tapped the car window with a gun and motioned for the driver to get out. The driver slammed the car door into the suspect's legs. Then he threw the coffee at his head and wrestled the guy to the ground. The driver even managed to get hold of the gun, and he aimed it at the suspect, who scurried off into some nearby woods, maybe hoping it had been decaf. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brangemeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the ex-mayor of a small North County town is on probation for stealing from his former workplace. Former Country Club Hills Mayor Felton Flagg was sentenced yesterday to 5 years of probation. Flagg pleaded guilty in August to 15 counts of forgery and one count of felony theft and resigned from office. He must also pay more than $70,000 in restitution to his former employer, Zip Mail Service in Brentwood. The baseball season may be over, but Busch Stadium is still a bundle of activity. Crews are busy removing seats and other items from the stadium in preparation for its demolition. That job was made a little easier by some fans at Wednesday night's game, who walked off with everything from cup holders to Busch Stadium signs and dirt from the field. Cardinals President Mark Lamping says the actual demolition should begin the week of November 7th. Former Missouri Senator John Danforth is hoping for public support in redeveloping the St. Louis Riverfront. During a visit with the Press Club of Metropolitan St. Louis yesterday, Danforth talked about his involvement in the redevelopment plan and the proposal for a lid over the depressed section of Interstate 70 to connect the arch grounds with the rest of downtown. Danforth says St. Louis is not taking advantage of the most beautiful sculpture in the world. More than 80% of college students have credit cards, and many people get into a lot of trouble with them. Harris Simmons, the chairman of the American Bankers Association, says teenagers need to be educated about how to properly use their credit cards.
I think the best foundation for using credit is to make sure you've got good savings habits. Once you do that, particularly as you use a credit card, be sure you're making your monthly payments on time and making more than just a minimum payment.
Simmons says teens need to realize that even if you apply for a credit card and never use it, it still goes on your credit report. Yesterday, students from Beaumont High School were given a first-hand lesson on how to smartly use credit as part of Get Smart About Credit Day. Finally this hour, Rams quarterback Mark Bolger is still listed as questionable with a shoulder injury, but he is not expected to play in Sunday's home game against the Saints. Bolger did not practice yesterday, meaning Jamie Martin took most of the snaps with the first unit. Martin is likely to start on Sunday, with rookie quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick serving as the backup. Both the Rams and Saints are 2-4, and they have the two worst defenses in the NFL in terms of total points allowed. It's a noon kickoff on Sunday. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
And the WGNU news time is now 7:07. Time for a look at traffic. This report being brought to you by McDonald's. We have heavy traffic now on Highway 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Eastbound 70 between Mid Rivers Mall and the Blanchette Bridge is moving at the speed limit. Northbound 270 is getting busy around Gravoy and again after I-44 out through Marshall Road. Westbound 270 between 367 and the Graham Hanley exit is in good shape at this hour. Westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and Lindbergh is about normal volume for this time of the morning. There's heavy traffic on eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Highway 79. Slow going reported on Highway 40 between Highway 141 and Mason Road. Looking at the bridge complexes downtown, westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge, it's starting to get heavy there. Westbound 64 between Ball Avenue and 5570, it's slow right now. The King Bridge traffic is going nicely as you come across the bridge into the Laclede's Landing area. Northbound 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is slow there. At Turtle Creek Drive at West Mexico Road, an accident reported in front of Fort Zumwalt High School. Signal problems are reported at this hour on Riverview at West Florissant. And don't forget, there's construction work in both directions on I-255 at Camp Jackson Road over in Illinois. Make dinner easy with McDonald's. Their premium chicken sandwiches, chicken selects, and premium salads are all perfect for dinner, and now you can even rent a movie with dinner, too. At McDonald's, I'm loving it. WGNU News Time is 7:09. We'll have a look at the weather forecast right after this.
Wake up call, family.
we want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. WGNU News Time 710, the forecast for this Friday, the 21st of October. Cloudy skies with some scattered drizzle this morning and a chance for some scattered showers throughout the day as well. Cooler today with a high only around 60 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies and the temperatures will be dropping into the upper 40s this evening. For Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60 degrees. It's more like fall weather today, folks. Temperature reading 48 degrees here at the studios of WGNU. WGNU time is 10 minutes past 7 o'clock. More of the wake-up call is on the way with Liz Brown. It's our Looking Black segment for your regular Friday morning listening, and that's coming up in just a moment. Next on Mondays at 9, why is the government giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton and its subsidiaries to rebuild the Gulf Coast when it's already under investigation for fraud, bribery, and other nice things? The Bush administration would not enforce accountability standards for Halliburton and Iraq, so let them perpetrate more fraud on American soil? What kind of a government are we running? Join Charlie Cray from Halliburton Watch for a discussion on the crooks and cronies of Halliburton on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this happen? I think hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brothers, how can this happen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to Looking Black this morning. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. It's Friday. It's 7 o'clock, and it is time for Looking Black. Our guest this morning is Michael Fonfroy, assistant professor with the George Mason School of Public Policy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well.
Very good. So, as you look back on this week, what is it that caught your eye?
Well, you got to start with the Millions More Movement.
All right.
And then in the aftermath of that, here in D.C., you know, the marches, you know, large-scale events such as the Millions More Movement or the Peace March always takes on extra resonance in the place in which they occur. And so D.C., I think more so than many places around the country, was really involved heavily in terms of the planning and turnout and things of that nature. So,
did you go to the Millions Man's March?
Yes, I did.
And did you go to the Millions More Movement?
Yes.
Comparing the two of them in terms of the organizational piece of it, do they differ?
In some ways they did. I think the, you know, the primary differences were that the Million Man March was a more insular event in that there was just a small slice of American pie, if you will, involved in the planning, involved in the participation. This time, though, the march had a much wider swath of participation in terms of organization and speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a much different flavor. I mean, we didn't have Native American speakers or Hispanic speakers or gay speakers and so on and so forth. 10 years ago, and for each one of those speakers, there's an organizational component rallying members who belong to that group to come to D.C. to participate in the march. So in that regard, it was a much more complicated event.
And in terms of the size of it, do we ask the question about what the size of the march means in the year 2005?
Well, I think the size of the march is significant because it points out the extent to which organizers are making their points known to the people that they're targeting. Now, at the same time, though, I think 10 years ago and all the controversy about how many people were there, estimates and what have you, you know, I remember people on the stage saying they heard estimates that it was 1.8 million, and then the Park Service comes back and says it's 800,000, and then there's all the controversy about that.
And the Park Service has never counted since.
They pulled out of the game after that.
After that, they said we are. Because I believe that Minister Farrakhan's attorney was going to sue them. They said we ain't never counting anybody again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you can never be entirely accurate with the count anyway, so why bother if it's going to be that controversial?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was part of their thinking. But there's a certain irony since then, though, and that is, in some ways, it has helped that no one can come up with an official count because it takes that out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the event is, it becomes more about the event itself as opposed to how many people turned out. Having said that, pictures tell a story. And, you know, you can't, if you had a million in 1995 and then you come back in 2005 and you draw 50,000, that's a powerful picture that says a lot about the organizers. But this turnout, while it wasn't nearly as large as it was 10 years ago, was still significant. I mean, I don't estimate these sorts of things, but, you know, I would say it was a few hundred thousand, which to me is fine. I mean, ultimately, these events are significant only if they spur something at some point down the line. And so that will tell how ultimately successful this was.
And did we have missing from the equation in this 10-year period? There appeared to be, I think maybe there was. There was just a constant attack on Minister Farrakhan in the first Millions Man March. And in some respects, did black men respond to that in terms of, you know, you don't get to tell me who my leader is going to be?
Yeah, you know, I think all Americans and African Americans in particular have this reflexive sort of thing that they do where it's very contrarian. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, you know. And so somebody is criticizing Farrakhan. I don't like that, so I'm going to go to show my displeasure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that played a large role with it. Now, you fast forward to 2005. And in the run-up to the march, there was almost no coverage.
Yeah, and you have to weigh that into the assessment of the numbers of people that were there.
Yeah, I think you do, but at the same time, I think 2005, more so than 1995, there's better technological organizing,
mm-hmm.
email and so on. Obviously, that was around in 95, but
not to the extent that it is.
Yeah, it's just so much more deeply ingrained in American society now than ever. And it just makes me marvel at the 1963 March on Washington when They brought 300,000 people to the mall with no fax, no email, no internet, you know, literally no money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so.
But they also, but they had something that we don't have today. When the signs are up, that's a great organizing tool. You know, the signs of colors, no colors, and,
oh, yeah,
and you
no
know,
question.
The, that, that's a great organizing
no
every
question.
Day in your face
yeah,
tool.
Yeah. It's no question. And that, to me, gets back to, you know, where we try to look at, try to read the tea leaves and assess where this march goes and compare it to 95. And, in fact, where the 95 march may have fallen short. If you look at the 63 march and then you look at the 20th anniversary march in 83, what you see is direct changes in public policy following those marches. In 63, you had the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the Voting Rights Act of 65, and much of that came out of the 63 march. In 83, shortly after that, you had the King Holiday Bill, and within 2 years of that, you had sanctions against South Africa, and those were issues that were called for in the 83 march. The 95 Million Man March didn't have a public policy component. Yes, there was an uptick in black male turnout in the 96 election, but we weren't able to sustain that to the extent that we probably should have. And so we had an uptick in 2000 of black women following the 97 Million Women's March. So we have to see how things go going forward. But one of the problems that I have with these sorts of events is that there has to be a public policy component. There has to be some evidence that the organizers are focused on one or two issues and say, this is what we're going to push the government to do. And we didn't have that in 95, and quite frankly, I didn't hear it to the extent that I would have liked to last week.
Well, surely there were some things that were articulated, because I remember watching the minister in terms of there's a bank issue in terms of trying to start an African bank. There's a moneyed component of it in that people are supposed to be supporting organizations. There were things that were asked for.
Right. Oh, without doubt. But those aren't public policy questions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sort of racial unity questions.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that activists have been calling for years. You know, I don't know what it's like in St. Louis, you know, but here in D.C., there are black-owned banks.
Okay, well, then let me make it clear for what's going on in St. Louis. There are none.
Okay.
Well, there lies part of the issue. Yeah.
I mean, imagine for a second if an African-American entrepreneur in St. Louis said, you know what, I'm going to start a bank. And, you know, 30% of the black population in St. Louis and suburbs decided to support that bank
mm-hmm.
with some measure of their personal wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would establish something real. And I think that that's one of the things that the minister was right in calling for.
And in terms of the Katrina issue, that weighed heavily in the Millions More movement.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I was a little concerned going in that the Katrina card would be played too often, you know, because the issues for which this march was called had nothing to do with Katrina. The march had been organized months in advance. It had been announced months in advance. And I didn't want people to focus so much on Katrina that they didn't focus on these other things. I think that it wasn't overplayed, and I'm happy about that. I think the tone was about right in terms of where Katrina fit into this larger public policy issue.
Well, maybe Katrina is the no blacks only sign of 2005.
Well, we'll see.
You know,
we'll see.
Because I think that it does play that role in terms of reminding people about where this country is from a political perspective and from a white and black perspective, that where people are.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right about that. Katrina and video of police brutality and that sort of thing serve a purpose now that the four white only signs
mm-hmm.
served 40, 50 so years ago. There's no question about that. I just hope that, you know, whatever the impetus are for greater involvement, that people take advantage of those things and understand that, you know, the political process is there for a reason. It helps determine who gets the resources of government, you know,
mm-hmm.
be there in housing or education or health care.
And who gets the resources of legislation?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the front page of the New York Times and you see that the NRA now has got a law passed or the House has passed a bill to insulate gun manufacturers from lawsuits, it matters if you have folks in your pocket.
Oh, without doubt. You know, I went to a reception here on Wednesday evening, rather, and had a chance to meet three different members of the Congressional Black Caucus, and I had a conversation with Chairman Mel Watt.
Oh, he's been on the show before. We got into it very deeply. He was not a very happy man.
Okay,
he and I
had an interesting conversation because he laid it out. He said, listen, politics is a zero-sum game. You know, if you're in control, you make all the decisions, and if you aren't, then you're just picking up scraps. And I think that there's some truth to that. And as a result, the NRA is able to do that because their people control Congress.
But on the other hand, I remember Minister Farrakhan 10 years ago said in one of his speeches that most of the elections in the United States are decided with the margin of the African vote. We can decide who stays, we can decide who goes, and that is true. It is difficult as a person of African descent to listen to hear words from a chairman's perspective of kind of like a defeatist type of a thing. That, and particularly when you look at some of the votes that have been cast by members of the Black Caucus, when you have members like Harold Ford voting with conservatives on the bankruptcy bill,
right.
These things.
Greg Meek in New York is another.
Absolutely. So if you can't, I don't want to hear somebody that's not even holding the Black Caucus together and demanding things of the Black Caucus, articulating, what can we do? We ain't in control.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I would add though that and we can have a long conversation about this. I have problems with the caucus right now as
mm-hmm.
well. But the caucus today is not the caucus of the early '70s that many of us who are activists and interested in activism came to appreciate and respect. You look at someone like Harold Ford. He is interested in being a senator, and that's
for white folks.
Yeah, well, that's what he is about, and that's where he's focused, and that's going to be reflected in his voting and his political behavior.
And the sad thing is that it's just such a God-given opportunity. Bill Frist is disintegrating.
Right.
Bill
Frist,
yeah, absolutely, and could be taken out. And who's there waiting in the wings, Harold Ford? What good are he going to be to us?
Well, that's going to be an open seat. Frist has already announced that he's not running for re-election.
But there's Harold Ford waiting there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, but you know what? Between you and me and those who are listening, he can't win that election.
Yeah.
He can't win that. No matter how much he deracializes himself, he cannot win that election.
And here are the words that have to come out of my mouth is I hope he doesn't. And here I am saying that when we need another African person in the United States Senate, he would be worse for us than nobody there.
Well, let me complicate things for you. Let me be contrarian,
right.
as I like to do. Would you rather have Harold Ford or Michael Steele?
I would rather not have either one, because the bottom line is I think from a history of our people, we are loath to kick anybody out of their job. We ain't trying to take a job away from nobody. And once an African politician gets in, they pretty much have the love and the support or the indifference of these people until they decide to walk out.
Let me fill in the blank for your listeners who don't know who Michael Steele is. Steele is currently African American. He's Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, and I don't know how the elections are done in Missouri, but in Maryland, the Lieutenant Governor does not run on a separate ticket. He is part of the team.
Yep.
So he has never actually won that seat. He was like the Vice President of the United States. He was part of the team.
Swept in.
And he is now looking to run for a Senate seat that is going to be vacated by Liberal Democrat Paul Sarbanes. And he is about to announce his campaign in the next week or so, announces his candidacy, rather, in the next week or so. But he's very conservative, and he is the darling right now, along with Ken Blackwell in Ohio, of conservative efforts to increase Black conservative participation in electoral victories.
I think it only muddies the water. I think it only I think it cast a energy of despair amongst people of African descent when you see the Colin Powells and the Condoleezza Rices out there, because now they have to argue two different things about arguing what the interests of people of African descent, what our political interests are, and secondly, railing against a Condoleezza Rice, and railing against a Colin Powell. Neither one of those people should, because both of them are going to be using their race in some way, but then distancing themselves from race once they get into office. And that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, thank
you. You know, we're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Michael Fauntroy, an assistant professor with the George Mason School of Public Policy. He's joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. You're listening to, of course, Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. Yeah.
You're looking to get into real estate. Where do you go? What do you do? Call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Properties available from $50,000 to $200,000. Available with no money down. Take your choice of area, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, or St. Charles County. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Get into the game. Make the first move. Call Lisa Krempaski, 629-7830. That's Lisa Krempaski, 314-629-7830. Good morning. WGNU time is 7:31, and time for a look at traffic on the half hour. This report brought to you by GM Certified Used Vehicles. There's an object on the roadway on westbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Highway K. Descriptions are it's some type of ladder in the center lane, so watch yourself out there. Normal traffic on westbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and River De Pere. Eastbound 44 is running in good shape at the Chrysler plant out through Big Bend. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh is heavy. Traffic is in good shape on eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchette Bridge. Northbound 270 is starting to crowd now around Gravois and again after I-44 all the way to Marshall Road. Traffic is running at the speed limit on westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and I-170. Traffic is in good shape on westbound 255 between Coke and Interstate 55. Eastbound 70 between Hughes and Highway 79, traffic is heavy. Slow going on Highway 40 between Woods Mill and Mason. Looking at the bridges downtown, it's stop and go on the Poplar Street Bridge on 5570 between 64 and the bridge complex. Slow traffic on 64 between Ball Avenue and 5570. The King Bridge traffic is in good condition as you come into the Laclede's Landing area. And Illinois 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, it's slow going. We also have a report of signal problems on Riverview at West Florissant. There's an accident with injuries reported at Manchester and Mason. And in both directions, 255 at Camp Jackson Road over by Cahokia, there's construction taking place there. Used car problems? GM certified owners tend to forget what they are. To find out more and find yourself a dealer, visit gmcertified.com or call 888-999-7880. GM Certified. No worries. WGNU time, 7:33. Here's a quick look at your forecast for this Friday the 21st. Cloudy with a few patches of drizzle this morning and a few scattered showers throughout the day today. The high should be near 60 degrees. We are recording 48 degrees here at the home of WGNU Radio. And we'll be getting back to more of the Looking Black segment with Liz Brown and her special guest coming up after these important words.
It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend, it's the Travel Planner Show. Starting October 22nd from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
Do you love Liz? Dote on Dr. Laura. Demand Dave Lenihan. Tell us why you listen to WGNU. Your answer could net you some cool stuff. Write Why Do You Listen? WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Hurry, this offer ends October 28th.
This is the Reverend E.L. Sims, the pastor of the Grace Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, located at 2601 Marcus. If you want to hear the true, unadulterated Word of God, I invite you to join me every Saturday morning. God speaks in a mighty way, and He has a message of salvation that you can't afford to miss. So listen every Saturday morning for the Grace Tabernacle Radio Ministry at 9:30, right here on WGNU.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, Lisa Graves of the ACLU will be with us during the 8 o'clock hour to talk about another encroachment on civil liberties courtesy of the Patriot Act. Did you know that the FBI has been making mistakes on wiretaps but doesn't have to account for them because of the Patriot Act? The agency doesn't even have to disclose there have been problems. The two houses of Congress are working on a new bill that will reauthorize the Patriot Act. Well, they need to clean this up and other problematic provisions that are in it. That's what we're talking about Friday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with Him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my Father again.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Liz Brown. My guest this morning is Michael Fauntroy, assistant professor with the George Mason School of Public Policy. He's joining us this morning from Washington, D.C. Michael, what else caught your eye last week?
Well, Harriet Myers, Judy Miller, and what I believe to be the perfect storm that is forming around the White House.
It certainly appears to be that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you add it all up, you got, you know, you got Katrina, you got these energy prices, the Iraq War, and that disgraceful video of two people being burned by, two bodies being burned by American soldiers, the frisk.
Don't forget
the delay indictment, Harriet Myers, the Fitzgerald investigation. All of this is beginning to come together.
Cindy Sheehan, don't forget Cindy.
Oh yeah, can't forget about Cindy. She's been a little quiet recently, but her issue is still very important as well. So you add it all up, and it's a big mess with the White House.
Talk to us about not just the Valerie Plame, but the reporter. Judith Miller.
Right.
Talk to us about her, because she's been kind of a hack for the White House.
Yeah, Judith Miller is an interesting case. She poses problems for liberal reporters in some respects. Yes, she works for the New York Times. She's been there for 30 years. She has a reputation as a pretty good reporter, but I think there's no question that she looked at the information she was getting from inside sources at the White House and other places who were pushing the Bush war, she looked at that information with a very uncritical eye. And as a result, she now has to defend herself from charges that she was actually part and parcel, part of the apparatus that was used to send America into this unjust war. So she has some questions to answer in that regard. I don't know if you had a chance to see it or any of your listeners, but this past weekend, the New York Times wrote a 6,000-word story about this whole issue and where she comes out in it. And it is clear that she overstepped her bounds in some areas.
Well, looking at it, and I'd like for you to assess it, she says when she looks at her notes that she comes down to the conclusion she doesn't know who told her the name.
Yeah, that is as unbelievable as Rove saying the same thing. He doesn't know who told him first.
And then the note about Valerie Plame.
I wonder about that because if you and I are talking on the phone about something important, and you are giving me some information, and included in that information is someone's name.
And I'm a reporter of 30 years.
And I am a reporter of 30 years, and I'm experienced, and I get it right because I work for the New York Times.
And you work
right?
for the New York Times.
You give me a name, and
I ask you to
say
spell it.
Something, and I write it down as Valerie Plame. The first thing I'm going to do is say, wow, that's an unusual name. Let me make sure I got it right.
And even still, you spell that. I mean, spell that as a second word out of every reporter's mouth.
Yeah.
In the print, spell it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she writes down Valerie Flame.
Right.
It's incredulous. It really is.
Hey, listen. We may be looking at a scenario in which she actually ends up getting indicted.
Mm.
You know, it would be a shame. Now, I must confess that I'm not giving her the benefit of the doubt right now. Perhaps I should, but consider this for a second. Let's say she spends 85 days in jail for some journalistic point that she's trying to make, and then she goes to testify and doesn't really tell the truth, and she ends up getting indicted on top of that.
Mm. Mm. And what is interesting is that why didn't she, if she was going to stay in there for all that time because she didn't really get what she kind of said that she wanted, why didn't she just, the grand jury was going to be ending on October 28th and she came out on September 28th, why didn't she just go ahead and finish it up?
Because she knew that Fitzgerald would ask to have the grand jury extended.
There you go. There you go. So she wasn't staying in there. Even the thing that she said that she would do, she wasn't really trying to do.
Yeah.
Because she sure could. She could have stayed in there and not said nothing.
Right. But you know, but if you're someone who's done some time before, doing time might not be a big deal to you. But if you haven't, you know, and you come from her background, you're not likely to want to do it.
I didn't hear Martha Stewart complaining. I didn't hear her complaining at all. This woman, Judith Miller, was talking about, oh, the mattresses are so thin, it's so hard to get a good night's sleep. So, I don't know. It should be very interesting to see what happens. You're in Washington, D.C. right now. I'm hearing all kinds of rumors that if this goes up to Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney's going to step down, and then Condoleezza Rice is going to be the vice president. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing a whole bunch of nothing. You know, I mean, people are really getting beside themselves in terms of speculation. I understand it. It's a juicy story. And if you peel back enough conspiracy peels of the onion, you can get to Bush if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, we don't know what's going on.
But there's something special about this prosecutor and different about this prosecutor, isn't there, Fitzgerald?
Well, Fitzgerald has a reputation as a straight shooter, somebody who's serious about his work. But, you know, what if he comes, but that's because we all anticipate him to come back with indictments. Mm-hmm. What if he comes back with nothing? Then those who are critical of the Bush administration are going to say, this guy sold out to the right wing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's best to just wait. I have there's no question in my mind, and I wrote this in a column that was picked up by TomPaine.com, and it's on my own website, MichaelFontroy.com, in which I'm saying this is part of a long line of Republican scandal. So even if there are no indictments, the fact is that they did something dirty to try to get to an opponent who was calling out their fallacies.
And don't we also see something different happening here in terms of evaluating the scandalness of this? Karl Rove is clearly distracted. And clearly Karl Rove knows more than you or I or anybody else in Washington, D.C., and he is off his game. Scuda is off his game. Whether indictments come down or not, these two appear to be very worried and distracted about this.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right about that, and Rove is the number one player there in terms of getting things done. But they have a bunch of talented people there, and I don't want – The fear I have is that all of Bush's problems are going to be blamed on the fact that Rove is distracted, as opposed to the fact that there are bad policies and bad decisions being made. So while I agree with you that Rove is distracted by all this, I don't want to give this guy too much credit about on what's going on over there. And if I could just be facetious for a moment, what's the story with a man in his 50s going around being called Scooter?
Okay.
What is that about?
Okay.
You know, I don't understand.
I don't understand that either. He's not embarrassed about that. You know, calling a grown man Scooter. I'm with you. I don't get it at all.
Oh, boy.
I don't get it at all. You ain't ashamed of that. You know, that's absolutely fair and a fair question.
Yeah. But I think he and Rove are big players in that White House.
I guess what I was meaning, though, Michael, was not so much that to take a look away or distract from the policies. My observation of the absence of of Karl Rove is an opportunity for us to see how things pan out without somebody going behind the scenes and managing other people. And the nomination of Harriet Myers is an example of that, to see this kind of disintegration within the ranks of the conservative folks out here. I'm inclined to believe that we wouldn't have this kind of open criticism of Harriet Myers if there was someone like Karl Rove behind the scenes. And I think that's a good thing for all of us to be able to see them for the, with their warts and all.
I see your point, but I would look at it a slightly different way, and that is if Harriet Myers were Priscilla Owen, or Janice Rogers Brown, we wouldn't be having this discussion, because you're talking about somebody who, while conservative, clearly has a record and can clearly be offered up as a legitimate candidate for the Supreme Court. For me, the issue with Myers is less about the politics behind it all than it is about her background and her qualifications to serve on the court. And I believe that decision was totally President Bush's. I think that if Roe were really in the swing of things, it would have been someone more conservative.
But even if it was just George Bush's appointee, Rove would have been on the phone with the Dotsons saying, look, she's one of us, I assure you, and I promise you. Rove would have been on the phone with the other conservative breakaways right now, giving them the assurance that they don't have.
You know, it's funny you mention that. This nomination is brought forth as serious, it's open, it is it allows for the examination of a serious split in the Republican Party between the secular elite, you know, conservatives on one hand and the religious conservatives on the other.
Mm.
Rove made those calls to the Dotsons and those, and that's why they came out initially and have said so since that they support this nomination.
Mm.
But Rove has not been able to convince the George Wills, the Charles Krauthammers, the Bill Crystals, and the sort of New York neocon elite conservatives.
They have nothing to do with God.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we need to take a break. I'm talking to Michael Fonroy, assistant professor with the George Mason School of Public Policy. What's your website again, Michael?
MichaelFontroy.com. That's FONTROY.com.
I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Stay with us.
To trust on my own, I was lonely. You suddenly appeared. It was cloudy before, now it's all clear.
Now Goldie's Music has compiled the very best of Dean Martin in a 3-CD package called
Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime.
Yes, you get 36 of the very best of Dean Martin.
Send me the pillow that you dream of.
This greatest hits package is not available in stores, but only available through this special radio offer. It's the very best of Dean Martin.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest possible quality. Add the very best of Dean Martin to your collection today. Here's how to order. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New Orleans. The former president of the New Orleans City Council and member of the Orleans Levy Board says deep-rooted corruption in city government led to total ineptness in the handling of the evacuation and aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Peggy Wilson claims City Hall and Levy Board corruption was absolutely horrible. She served on the City Council from 1986 through 1998. When she lost her race, Republican Governor Mike Foster appointed her to the Levy Board. The State and Levy Board had a running feud between 1996 and 2001 over how money was being spent. She alleges that instead of spending its money on maintaining the levees around New Orleans, the board spent most of its money doing projects to accommodate riverboat casinos, which were a major source of funding for the levy board. The casinos paid to use the riverfront property next to their boats. Former levy board chairman Francis Heitmer, whom Wilson was sharply critical of for providing patronage jobs to friends and relatives, says the picture of the levy board Wilson is trying to paint is not accurate. He says the Corps of Engineers is the agency that builds and maintains the levees. All the levy board does is cut the grass on them. And Dateline London. A new book has been published that features notes from British Prime Minister Tony Blair's personal secretary. The book is entitled Lawless World and was written by Professor Philippe Sands. Those notes pertain to a phone call between President Bush and Prime Minister Blair that took place on January 30, 2003. At that time, Blair wanted the president to get a second resolution from the UN that said Iraq was in violation of disarmament demands, and that resolution would also authorize military action. Bush says he did want that second resolution, but he was afraid that the lead UN arms inspector, Hans Blix, was going to conclude that Saddam was offering cooperation, thereby delaying the need for any military action. Bush decided that such a conclusion would make him look weak, and he would not stand for that. When the UN inspectors came up empty with any WMDs, Bush began to pressure the UN to pull them out, saying that the US could no longer wait because the threat was real. 2 months later, the invasion began. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
At Halloween, it's all about the scare, the fright, the horror. For the most scare anywhere, come to Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun every weekend from September 24th through October 30th. We have five times the, and five times more. And you still get all of it. Hollow Weekends has five extreme haunts. Camp Gonna Get You With Your Hatchet. Carnival of Carnivorous Clowns. The Lore of the Vampire. The Fright Zone. And the new Dominion of Doom. Plus, all our coasters for one low price. So you can scare the
bejesus
out of yourself over and over again. One ticket, unlimited thrills. Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun. We've got the haunt that you want. Sponsored by Kansas City area Toyota dealers. Visit worldsoffun.com to book your reservation at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, Sears, black-owned, black-operated at 3425 Union. They have a 20% off sale, refrigerators, stoves. They also have those wonderful, wonderful treadmills, folks, to get you in shape for the holiday season. Don't forget, it's black-owned, black-operated, Jerome Williams. You don't have to go out to the mall. You can come right here in your own neighborhood. 3425 Union, Sears, get your shop on.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Our guest this morning is Michael Fauntroy, assistant professor with the George Mason School of Public Policy. He's in D.C. Michael, what else? We have a few more minutes here. What else caught your eye in the last week?
Well, I think you know, New Orleans is a continuing story, and that's something I think we need to pay close attention to. You know, there are continuing stories about what's going to happen in terms of the rebuild. I know people here in D.C. who lived in New Orleans, and some want to go back, some don't want to go back. And that will have political implications because if large numbers of African Americans choose to not return, then that will certainly put Mary Landrieu's seat in jeopardy when she runs for re-election, and will likely mean the end of Bill Jefferson's career as well. But you know, Jefferson's on the verge of an indictment himself, so he may be out for a different reason. But I'm focused on New Orleans. I think as we get further away from it, people are going to forget it or pay less attention to it, or there'll be other things to fill the void. But I'm keeping my eye on New Orleans.
I've seen some stories about contractors crying, local contractors crying, a local business that was supposed to have received a contract from the government. That contract was canceled. Another company, a friend of somebody in Washington, D.C., they were hired because they would pay people less than the going rate wage there in New Orleans. And the unions apparently are starting to maybe kind of get connected to this, because it's as big as it is about the displacement of people of African descent, this is a story that also plays out with other groups all across this country in terms of wages, in terms of using federal money. They're saying that they can pay for the rebuilding of parochial schools.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a whole lot of issues.
Yeah, I'm deeply concerned about that, and I think that while the human interest stories that we see in the news are fine, I'm actually more concerned about those things, because if you can't get a job at a living wage, then what are you to do?
There you go.
You know, and to me, that's really what we need to be focused on.
And the other piece of it is that there's a news story coming out right now today that the district attorney says he has no money and he may have to lay off all of his staff. And what does that do with investigations of everybody in New Orleans?
I think that will be the continuing story going forward. I mean, there are going to be stories like this all along.
And I guess the question comes back to your observation about how much is America going to continue to pay attention to the needs and the issues and the repercussions from coast to coast of the stories coming out of New Orleans.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there's a hurricane in the Caribbean right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if that hurricane goes to Florida and does damage, or goes to the Panhandle in Alabama, or does damage someplace else, then that's just one more reason to expect New Orleans to be lost in the shuffle.
And particularly since it's Jeb Bush and the state of Florida, I guarantee you that Florida will get everything that just like Halle Barber got everything that he needed.
Sure, sure.
You know, so you have any heads up stories for us to be looking at in the upcoming week?
Yeah, I came across something yesterday that I think is going to have some legs. A former State Department aide to Colin Powell was involved in a press conference panel discussion earlier this week that was sponsored by the New America Foundation. It's a public policy think tank here in D.C. And the aide, a guy by the name of Lawrence Wilkerson, said that Bush policy is run by a cabal. And we're not surprised to hear that, but the cabal is Cheney and Rumsfeld. Now, it's significant because this is the highest level insider to say that. And he is saying that the Bush-Cheney folks have corrupted the process of American foreign policy, literally run it into the ground, and they, more than anyone else, are responsible for this war in Iraq.
Mm. So what
this is an insider now. This is a high level. In fact, this guy was a former chief of staff to Powell. Okay.
But wasn't he the one that came out, and who else was he talking about? He also dropped a dime on some other people, didn't he? Now the name escapes me. I don't remember. Because wasn't there a period of time where there was a one of Powell's people came out? Oh, I know who it was. It was the guy who's at the UN, Bolton.
Yeah.
Is this the same person that dropped the dime on Bolton
and
said that
he
didn't have the temperament to have the job?
I do not know.
Okay.
What I do know, and this is so serious, that the guy was saying that he and Powell have had a bit of a falling out over his decision to go public.
Oh.
And this adds a totally new flavor to it all, and it'll be curious to see what happens going forward.
It definitely will. Michael, what's your website again where people can check out your writings?
MichaelFauntroy.com, F-A-U-N-T-R-O-Y.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us on Looking Black.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right, you too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be with you in the next hour. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, dear brother. Talk to me, listen. It is time for us to use our power. Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White, a $340 million winner. ABC News Radio just spoke exclusively with one of the Powerball jackpot winners, Steve West of Medford, Oregon, a first-time player.
We didn't watch the Powerball drawing. We got a call about 8:20 from the other family member and said, I can't believe it. Some of these numbers are matching. And then she started saying, oh, all these numbers are matching. And we thought, wow.
He and three relatives bought the ticket in a West Coast gold rush town, and they wanted to be very sure it was the winner.
We went over and looked at the ticket, verified that it's a correct ticket purchased in Jacksonville, and just haven't slept well the last two nights.
Their kids might have let the good news slip at school. Landfall at Cozumel. Forecasters say the outer eye wall of Hurricane Wilma has come ashore. ABC's David Curley has more from Cancun.
Awnings came down, signs came down, races went up. People were evacuated out of the hotels within a matter of 6 to 8 hours. It was pretty impressive how quickly they moved once they ordered a mandatory evacuation of the hotels.
The storm's sustained winds are 150 miles an hour. Florida's western coast may feel the full effects by Monday. ABC's Alex Stone is in Naples.
Plywood at the Naples Home Depot store is selling by the truckload as people here board up their homes before they leave. Jim Delvin says he'll go if Hurricane Wilma comes toward this city at Category 2 strength or higher.
I guess we'll wait until the predictions are maybe more accurate.
Already there have been shortages on fuel, and finding gas canisters is almost impossible. Alex Stone, ABC News, Naples, Florida.
A lawyer for one of Saddam's co-defendants has been found shot dead a day after he was kidnapped from his Baghdad office. And there's late word three U.S. Marines have been killed in a roadside bombing that happened today in western Iraq. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Reasons for remodeling right now. Number 3, the smile I get from brushing my teeth in a new bathroom. Number 2, all my recipes taste better in a brand new kitchen. And number 1, get it sooner, pay for it later.
Right now at the Home Depot and Expo Design Center, get special deferred financing throughout the store and 10% off your first purchase when you open a new account. Only through October 23rd, only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Britain's Prince William is joining the army after getting into a Royal Military Academy. That announcement came today. Tea caddies all over Britain are being usurped by some trendy cafes selling, gasp, designer coffee. What's up with that?
Did you know there are more Starbucks here in London than there are in New York? There's no question that latte grandes and cafe mochas are making inroads in this nation of tea drinkers. Outside my local Starbucks on this rainy Friday morning, I decided to see for myself whether coffee is really replacing the good old cuppa as the beverage of choice. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee or tea?
Depends what the mood I'm in.
Today?
Coffee.
But Bill Gorman, executive director of the British Tea Council, says tea is still a British staple, outselling coffee 2 cups to 1. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
Barbie sales have been slumping since the Mattel girl ditched her longtime boyfriend Ken and ran off with that Aussie boogie boarder Blaine. Now we're told Mattel's giving Ken a makeover to maybe try to win her back. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a California woman is facing charges after allegedly taking her daughter from her Metro East home. Police say 30-year-old Ana Paniagua of Oceanside, California, was found at a Phoenix airport yesterday with her 6-year-old daughter, who had reportedly been taken from her home in Wood River. Paniagua is charged with child abduction. The girl was not harmed and will be reunited with her father. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that a Vandalia, Missouri prison inmate yesterday had an abortion in St. Louis. The procedure came 3 days after Justice Clarence Thomas lifted a temporary stay in the case. A corrections department policy bars the use of tax dollars to transport prisoners to get abortions, and the inmate filed suit. In response, a federal judge twice ordered state officials to transport her to a local abortion clinic. The Missouri Attorney General's office represented the prison and took the case to a federal appeals court and later the U.S. Supreme Court. St. Louis City residents today and tomorrow can test the new voting equipment that will eventually be used in the city's election process. Ed Martin, the chairman of the St. Louis Board of Elections, says that to be in compliance with the Help America Vote Act and disability rights laws, the city will likely use optical scan and touchscreen voting machines. The new system should be in place early next year. The demonstrations are today from 8 o'clock until 3 at City Hall, and tomorrow from 8:30 to 11:30 at the Regional Arts Commission at 6128 Delmar. An unveiling ceremony will be held tomorrow for St. Louis's first inclusive playground. The Dennis and Judith Variety Wonderland is designed to accommodate children of all abilities. Jan Albus, the executive director of St. Louis Variety, says this playground is fun for children and will also teach them tolerance.
The idea is for children with disabilities to be able to play with children, able-bodied children, and with a primary motive of play, which of course teaches children all kinds of things, social skills, accepting diversity, and then the challenges physically that are just so great for the kids.
One section of the playground is called the Secret Garden, which contains 14 colorful perennial that will attract, feed, and house butterflies. The $2 million project was funded by St. Louis Variety donors. Finally this hour, Cardinals players are heading their separate ways for the offseason after the 2005 campaign came to an end with Wednesday's loss to the Astros in the NLCS. The organization will have several important decisions to make, with question marks surrounding many of the team's key players. Besides the likely retirement of outfielder Larry Walker, the Cardinals' free agents include outfielder Reggie Sanders, infielders Mark Rizalonik and Abraham Nunez, and pitchers Matt Morris and Julian Tavares. The Redbirds will open up the new Busch Stadium next April in a quest for their first World Championship since 1982. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Make dinner easy with McDonald's. Their premium chicken sandwiches, chicken selects, and premium salads are all perfect for dinner, and now you can rent a movie with dinner, too. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
And there's a couple of other stories of particular importance we want to pass along to you during this newscast. A suspect has been taken into custody following an attempted rape in East St. Louis. 23-year-old Michael Moore was charged yesterday after he tried to rape an 18-year-old mentally disabled woman on Tuesday. Authorities say the victim was rescued after police officers heard her screaming near a wooded area. And St. Louis area cab drivers are planning a protest this afternoon outside of the Taxi Cab Commission's office. The main issue surrounding this demonstration is against illegal fines, according to organizers of this event. This includes forcing drivers to wear uniforms even when off-duty and red-tagging cabs with cracked windshields after the cabs have passed state inspection. Those items in this hour from the WGNU News. At 8 minutes past 8 o'clock, time for another look at traffic. Traffic being brought to you by Southwest Airlines. There's a report of an accident on eastbound Highway 44 at Berry Road. It's on the shoulder, and traffic is slow as it approaches. That's at eastbound 44 at Berry Road. Northbound 55 between 270 and Germania, traffic is light at this hour. 44 between Lewis and the Merrimack River Bridge, no problems reported there. On eastbound 40 at Ballas and Hanley, traffic is moving slow in pockets there. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and 270, traffic is moving at the speed limit. Northbound 270 is slow between Highway 30 and Marshall Road. Heavy traffic reported on westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Normal traffic volume on westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and Lindbergh Boulevard. Traffic is heavy on eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Highway 79. Eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and Mason is starting to open up now. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley Road, traffic is slow going. Westbound 5570 between Exchange Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is stop and go. There's an accident on the shoulder of the highway at 3rd Street. On the bridge complex downtown, westbound 64 slow going from 10th Street to 5570. Kingbridge traffic is starting to get heavy now between the Illinois Bank and Laclede's Landing. Northbound Highway 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is slow. And at Riverview and West Florissant, signal problems continuing there. You can fly from to Fort Myers and Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. WGNU News Time is 8:10. We'll have a look at the weather forecast and continue with more of the Wake Up Call in just a moment. Next on Mondays at 9, why is the government giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton and its subsidiaries to rebuild the Gulf Coast when it's already under investigation for fraud, bribery, and other nice things? The Bush administration would not enforce accountability standards for Halliburton and Iraq, so let them perpetrate more fraud on American soil? What kind of a government are we running? Join Charlie Cray from Halliburton Watch for a discussion on the crooks and cronies of Halliburton on the next edition of Mondays at 9. And now the WGNU forecast for this Friday, October 21st. Cloudy skies with areas of drizzle and a slight chance of showers through the morning and into this afternoon. The high today will be around 60 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy and much like today with a high near 60. Current temperature reading up to 50 degrees here at the WGNU studios in the Central West End. WGNU time, 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. We've got more of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown coming up next here on AM 920 WGNU.
Examine life from the police perspective. Put down the police scanner and pick up Gary Wiegert on WGNU.net.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. But
you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how is this
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me. Our guest this morning, we have Lisa Graves, Senior Counsel for Legislative Strategy with the ACLU. We are talking about FBI wiretap mistakes that have been covered up under the Patriot Act. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks for having me on.
It's wonderful to have you here. I'm looking at an article that came out, I guess yesterday, on Thursday, about the ACLU commending lawmakers from both sides of the aisle and in from both chambers, I guess, of Congress for calling for modest reforms to the Patriot Act. Is there good news to report out here?
Well, right now in Congress, we're not where we had hoped to be in terms of turning back some of the worst parts of the Patriot Act, but we have succeeded in getting a coalition together that is going to make some important steps forward on the Patriot Act if their bill is allowed to get a vote.
What changes are we talking about?
Well, right now under the Patriot Act, the government can obtain all sorts of information about ordinary Americans. Financial information, information about the books they buy or borrow.
And when we're talking about the government, we're talking about the FBI?
Yes, the FBI,
right.
In particular the FBI. Mm-hmm. Information, basically everything about your health, wealth, or the transactions of your daily life in this computer day and age is probably recorded by some business somewhere. And the FBI, under the current law, can obtain that information quite easily without any facts connecting you to a suspected terrorist. And what the major reform that's in these proposals on the Senate side would be to add back the factual requirement that the government, that the FBI ought to have some facts connecting you to a terrorist before they gather all sorts of information about you. It's just common sense.
Well, what were they able to do before the Patriot Act?
Before the Patriot Act, the rule was that there had to be specific and articulable facts. That's the legal standard.
Did they have to go before a judge, like a warrant?
They had to go before the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, court in Washington, for most sorts of documents. There were only a few exceptions for things like telephone lugs. But otherwise, they had to go before a court in Washington to get this information. And the court was there to make sure that people weren't being targeted based on their First Amendment activity, based on their freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion. And what the Patriot Act did was to strip out the requirement that the court see any facts, and it also expanded the opportunities for the FBI to get information without going to a court.
So we're going to get that passed, or do we just think we're going to get it passed?
Well, we hope. We hope that we'll be able to get that correction back into the law. There were other things that we thought in the Patriot Act reform that we didn't get in either the House or the Senate bill, but we're hopeful that because of the wide coalition both in Congress and outside Congress on the left and the right, and the business community has now joined us in this effort calling for these reforms, we're very hopeful that we'll be able to get that change made.
Are you surprised how difficult, given the coalition that you have? I mean, you have people that don't even speak to each other, say each other's names on this coalition, and yet you're still getting resistance? Are you surprised by that?
Well, you know, I am and I'm not, in a way. On the one hand, the coalition has grown tremendously. When the Patriot Act was passed back in 2001 in the House, only a couple dozen Congress members voted against it, and
but they hadn't even read it, and it was after 9/11 and all
right.
of that stuff.
Right.
So 9/11's behind us.
Right.
The war is falling apart. Public sentiment is not supporting the war. Public sentiment is not supporting this president. Public sentiment is not supporting Republicans. And these changes were just huge, and have always been things that have been opposed by most parts of government. Why is it so difficult?
Well, that's a great question. I do think that, we face a situation in which one party controls the White House. That same party controls the House of Representatives, which controls all the rules, which means, in effect, there really aren't rules on the House side, and which controls the Senate. And even though we've been able to get allies on the Republican and Democratic side for these reforms, we had a situation in July when the first vote on Patriot came up where the Rules Committee in the House decided not to allow our reforms, our major reforms, to get a vote and instead allowed amendments like adding chewing tobacco to anti-smuggling laws. So, you know, we face a situation in the House where the thumb is on the scale of one side.
Well, then I'm sure you're going to tell me then that you have 90% of the support from the Democratic side of the aisle.
It does appear to be that way.
Okay, so it appears that 90% of the Democrats are supporting supporting the changes.
It's in that ballpark, basically.
Okay.
When we've had a couple of different votes, kind of test votes on different issues. And for the most part, the Democrats have stood together for four major reforms of the Patriot Act. And we've had some key Republican allies. And we've had some things actually pass but not make it into the final pieces of the legislation because of the way the House Rules Committee works.
Now, with regard to what the Patriot Act allows the FBI to do via wiretaps, tell us what changes were made.
Well, the Patriot Act changed the rules for wiretaps in foreign intelligence investigations so that basically you could have such a vague description of someone that they want to tap that it could apply to all sorts of people. It could clearly fall into racial profiling.
Give me an example.
Well, you know, they don't have to have the name of the person, and they don't have to have an alias of the person. They don't have to have really much of a description of the person. There's no particularity requirement, which is what
before they can wiretap you.
For them to do a roving wiretap, basically follow someone from phone to phone to phone.
So they could look at some dude on the street and say, do him.
Well, They start with some sort of probable cause that they've got, you know, a suspected terrorist. But the description could be so vague that it could apply to, you know, all sorts of people, a whole range of people based on, you know, race or ethnicity or age or, you know, how much hair they have, you know, not really sufficient specificity. And so one of the things we've been able to get put into the Senate bill is a requirement that even if they don't know the person's name, because people do have aliases, that they at least describe the person with sufficient particularity that it doesn't apply to a wide group of people.
How could you describe somebody with enough specificity? How
Well, you could,
how do you do that?
You could say, you know, a person of this age, a person of this general height with this mole or a tattoo or, you know, a something more specific than just what we think the law allows for these secret wiretaps right now.
Well, that scares me, too, because would saying that he is a Muslim be enough specificity?
No, not under the Patriot Act. But, you know, in a physical description of someone, you certainly can meet a lot of people who, you know, are men of a certain age, of a certain race, of a certain amount of hair, and it could apply pretty broadly. And so we have insisted that that is just too broad. It just applies to too many people, and the Constitution requires that you can't have warrants unless you've got some particular description of the person.
And I was reading an article, granted it was out of the Washington Times, which is problematic to begin with, but it was a story pertaining to a criticism of Hugo Chavez, president of Venezuela. And the criticism of Hugo Chavez was that he's up to no good. And the reason why they knew, an unnamed a source from the Pentagon was saying that he's up to no good because he is hanging out with people that we don't like. And that was, and so I say that example to pose a possibility of a factor that would go into one of these roving wiretaps of you hanging out with, or somebody saying that you hang out with somebody that the FBI doesn't like. Would that be enough? Insofar as a description component.
Well, I think that there are other issues in terms of basically government spying on ordinary citizens, on religious gatherings, infiltrating religious gatherings, or other gatherings that's in some ways a separate issue from the technical requirements for these wiretaps.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Because basically the wiretaps do have to have a target of an investigation, someone who's targeted. But because the roving wiretaps basically go from phone to phone to phone, and any phone that person uses gets basically turned on and tapped, there's no requirement that they make sure the person is actually using that phone.
Mm.
And so that does create a serious situation in which other innocent people's conversations can be gathered who've done nothing wrong but go to the same, you know, bowling alley, or the same restaurant, or the same, the person borrowed a cell phone from someone for a moment, or you know, it's extremely problematic, and we have certainly called for that provision to be significantly reformed.
And haven't you? You've called for it to be reformed. You've postulated, I'm certain, different scenarios of where and how problems could occur as a result of the law the way that it is right now. We already have examples that it doesn't work, right? The FBI is making mistakes right now.
Right. We know that basically the Justice Department put out a report, one of those Friday night press releases, basically, where they disclose that they have a lot of intelligence information, basically conversations that they have recorded that they haven't translated or processed, in part because some of the information is from the wrong telephone number. So, you know, and that's just the cases where they admit that they tapped the wrong phone. So government
the FBI is tapping the wrong phones.
Well, that's what their report indicated. They had gathered some materials on the wrong phone, you know, that's just the cases that they, you know, would admit. You know, there probably are many other instances in which they're gathering a wide range of information through different taps, and it's not clear because it's all secret. No one knows all the information that's being gathered. Obviously, something has to happen in secret, in part because of the terrorism investigations. There's some level of secrecy that is warranted, but the Patriot Act basically gave the government a blank check in many ways, and we're trying to fix that.
Well, in the sense of, or as a result of the FBI releasing this report that admits to some types of mistakes that they've engaged in as using the
Patriot Act. Do you get a sense that they're covering up the stuff, other stuff that we're not hearing about?
Well, you know, I think that what's happened is that there's a culture of secrecy that law enforcement prefers, and certainly the FBI prefers. And the FBI basically gave a big blanket for that secrecy. And so I'm not sure that I would describe it as a cover-up in that specific way, but I would say that, you know, we have a situation with these orders for people's records where it's clear the FBI is gathering a lot of information on a lot of people, and they won't even tell the American people the number of times they've used the power. We've asked repeatedly, senators have asked repeatedly for the FBI to make public the number of times they've used these secret powers to gather information about people's from people's internet service providers, people's financial institutions, that's banks, travel agencies, defined to include banks, travel agencies, car dealerships, loan companies, insurance companies, realtors, what have you, a wide range of businesses. We've asked, the Senate has asked, make this public. How many times have you used this power? And how many U.S. citizens' records have been obtained? And how many charges have actually been brought as a result of the use of these secret powers to gather information on people? And the FBI has taken the position that you can't even tell the American people how many times it's been used.
Who could force the FBI to do otherwise?
Well, the ACLU filed a FOIA lawsuit to try to get this information, and what we ended up with was a redacted document that was 6 pages long, line by line by line, of the date of a national security letter being issued, blacked out, until you get to the last page where it says grand total, and that's blacked out. So you can tell that the people who redact have a little bit of a sense of humor.
Yeah, they do.
But it doesn't help us get information. It's ridiculous for the government to assert that it's a national security secret how many times they've even used a power. It's
who could
absurd.
What could force them to do otherwise?
Well, I think if you had a Congress that was, and leaders in Congress who controlled key committees who were determined to make that public, they could make it public. Or if you had an administration that was not so insistent on basically deciding who's above the law and who's beyond the law, and so fixated on secrecy, we could have a very different world.
So where do we stand now? What should people be looking at?
Well, on the Patriot Act front, we certainly hope people will continue to talk to their neighbors, write into the newspapers, call their members of Congress and say, this Patriot Act needs to be reformed. You know, our country is based on checks and balances, and we know from our history that the FBI needs checks and balances. Martin Luther King was spied upon for years through FBI counterintelligence programs. We know that millions, or not millions, but many, many Americans have been the subject of different spying or information gathering by the government over the years, and it's just not the American way, and they need to be speaking out.
Well, are there any dates coming up in terms of votes on this issue?
Well, we've been trying to get more information about when the votes will occur. Right now, the House and Senate bills are pretty far apart, and so it doesn't seem like we're going to end up with a vote until about mid-November.
Okay.
And so we've got another couple of weeks to get the message out and to demand that these powers be reformed. Beyond that, I think that, you know, we've got a lot of issues to take a look at as a people, as you said, in terms of the way our government is using our money.
All right. And I want to thank you. Where can people get to your website, or how can people get to your website?
They should go to www.aclu.org.
www.aclu.org. Lisa Graves, Senior Counsel for the Legislative Strategy with the ACLU. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Liz. Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Electric. Commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Good morning, 8:33 here on the Wake Up Call, and it's time for another look at traffic on the half hour. This traffic update being brought to you by Rhodes Furniture. And on northbound 270 between Gravoy and 44, an injury accident reported on the right shoulder. Traffic is going slow near Sappington. Northbound 55 between Union and Potomac, traffic is moving at the speed limit. Eastbound 44 between Antire and 270, traffic is in good shape there. Slow traffic pockets on eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley Road. Eastbound 70 between the Mid Rivers Mall Drive and Blanchette Bridge, traffic flowing freely. Traffic starting to ease up now on westbound 270 at West Florissant. Traffic is running at a good clip on westbound 255 between Coke and I-55. We have reports of slow traffic on westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Looking at the bridges downtown, 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge, it's stop and go. The westbound King Bridge traffic coming onto the Laclede's Landing area, yeah, that is in pretty good shape now. Riverview at West Florissant, signal problems continuing there. There's an accident reported on West Park at Central Avenue. And in both directions on I-64 between Illinois 158 and Agreement Road, construction work is going on, and it's down to one lane during off-peak hours. Highway 21 between Lindbergh and Big Bend, they're striping the road out there. Lane closures are taking place. And in both directions on U.S. 6167, that's Jeffco Boulevard between Highway 231 and County Highway M, paving operations with various lane closures reported. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is now in bankruptcy and is closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything has to be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. That is Rhodes Furniture. Taking a look at the WGNU weather forecast for this Friday, October 21st, it looks like cloudy skies, the order for today. Some patchy drizzle and a few sprinkles here and there throughout the day. The high should be around 60 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and chilly with a low dropping into the upper 40s. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60. Our temperature reading is 51 degrees here at the beautiful studios of WGNU. WGNU time, 8:36. Back to more of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown in just a moment. Next on Mondays at 9, why is the government giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton and its subsidiaries to rebuild the Gulf Coast when it's already under investigation for fraud, bribery, and other nice things? The Bush administration would not enforce accountability standards for Halliburton in Iraq, so let them perpetrate more fraud on American soil? What kind of a government are we running? Join Charlie Cray from Halliburton Watch for a discussion on the crooks and cronies of Halliburton on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Ugh, gas is so expensive anymore. I don't want to drive all over town to shop.
I know what you mean.
But you want to get a gift for Jeff and Connie's anniversary? Something really special, you said, and I want to get an estimate on new siding.
Well, Jeff and Connie are going to Regional Exposure 2005.
When's that?
Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. It's at the St. Clair Square. I'll find Jeff and Connie's gift while you visit exhibits representing hundreds of manufacturers, distributors, and services. Everything you need in one stop. Plus, great entertainment, and you can register to win great prizes all weekend.
Hey, let's carpool with Jeff and Connie. That way we'll really save gas.
Regional Exposure 2005, Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Anchor Siding and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Give more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm late for work again. Leave on if I'm never
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You need, well, there's much that we need to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And again, the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to check me out on the World Wide Web, you can do that at www.wgnu.net. And if you want to check out any of our previous shows, you can do that at whiterosesociety.org. Those are my digits. That is my business. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And, there is a story on the front page of the paper that should be, I don't know, it should be problematic to folks out here, but I wonder, and help me if I'm wrong, I wonder if we are becoming fatigued. They say that we're charity fatigued. They say that we are fatigued from the from Katrina. They say that we're fatigued from the tsunami. They say that we are fatigued from all of this giving that we need to engage in, or that we have been engaged in. I wonder if we are now being fatigued from the stories, the bad stories, the Abu Ghraib stories. Are we fatigued by that, from that? Are we getting exhausted? And as a result of that exhaustion, are we turning away from the issues that are confronting us? Because on the front page of the New York Times today, the story of American soldiers setting fire to Taliban, alleged Taliban fighters, because there was no trial. That we only know that they're Taliban fighters because we're told by the people that burned them that they were. But you need to feel this, and we can't afford to be exhausted by this, because it will continue unless until we do something about it. It is monstrous. These were two human beings that after their death, our country, George Bush, set these bodies aflame. Stretched them, but before they put match to human flesh, they positioned the dead bodies with their arms outstretched, pointed towards the west, pointed towards Mecca. Once they took the dead bodies and positioned them such, they put flame to flesh and set the bodies on fire. and they were not done with their foul, monstrous acts against humanity. They use these dead, burned bodies as a taunt and a torture to the enemy. They basically called the enemy a wuss if you don't come handle your business with this. What does that make America? A monster beyond description. And this was done not by just a couple of Lindy England privates, 21-year-old girls having sex with monsters and having their babies. It was not just her. This is part of our psychological ops team. These are our trained military folks. And this is what they did in front of God and everybody. I wonder. You think they were trained at the School of America? What does that say about this country? We can't afford to be tired. There are innocent men with innocent children, innocent men and innocent boys right now at Guantanamo that are starving themselves to death just so that we pay attention to the wickedness that is being inflicted upon them. Ask yourself this question. If our good government would set a flame, would put flame to flesh, to two dead bodies in an effort to win the war, what do you think that they're doing behind closed doors? By the way, as we've been on the air for more American soldiers were killed in Iraq today. The death toll is 1,992. We have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Sao Paulo. Residents of the Amazon basin are experiencing the worst drought in the last 50 years. The government of Brazil is promising $14 million worth of aid to help them and has already sent the military there to distribute supplies and medicines to tens of thousands of people. A state of emergency has been declared in all 61 municipalities of the Amazonas state as the drought is now affecting people further downstream. Rivers and lakes have completely dried up. Millions of fish are rotting, and low river levels are keeping people from using their boats to get supplies. The environmental group Greenpeace says the situation can be attributed to massive deforestation and global warming. The burning of forests in the Amazon region has raised temperatures and prevented the formation of clouds, which produce rain. Government officials say the drought is more likely the result of higher water temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean, which has also caused devastating hurricanes this year. And Dateline Hollywood. The motion picture industry is going to roll out several movies about the Iraq War over the next few months. One of the more noteworthy of the lot will concern the life of U.S. aid worker Marla Ruzicka, who was killed in a suicide bombing in Iraq. The 28-year-old woman worked in both Iraq and Afghanistan, trying to document the number of civilians who were hurt or killed by U.S. forces. Her story was bought by Paramount Studios last year. The company also bought the rights to a book that was being written by Jennifer Abramson, who was writing the biography of Ruzicka at the time of her death. The organization she worked for is called Campaign for Innocent Victims in Conflict and helped injured civilians and their families get over $10 million in compensation from the U.S. government. The co-star of the movie Spider-Man, actress Kirsten Dunn, will portray Ruzicka in the movie. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Black-owned, black-operated Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. They have wonderful sales going on right now. They have closeout items. They have 20% off items and more. Refrigerators, stoves, washers, dryers, treadmills, television sets, CD players, freezers, everything. It's time. You know what time of the year it is? It's that nesting time of the year. You want to start cooking. You want to start canning. You want to start putting food away, and you want to start getting ready to nest on into the winter. Well, get on over to Sears so you can do it right. Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Black owned, black operated. Jerome Williams, the owner. When you get over there to get your shop on, tell him I told you to. Sears. So where else?
Guy Gulman keeps you company after dark. Online at WGNU.net.
Wake up call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. blue sky is gold. Poison is the rain that blows from the north to the south and east.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
Zenobia, good morning.
Good morning. And to everybody in your listening audience, again, I want to say that I co-sign on, you know, everything that's been said previously, and to the issue of men in United States uniform committing these atrocity crimes, you know, against the, you know, the Geneva Convention and all, you know, civilized nations, that the working class media and democracy forum coming up, you know, is a timely event. But I think it's a timely event, you know, in that, you know, we're dealing with these issues and getting the information out, which we have to just stop and be appreciative of the fact that you contribute to that, because we wouldn't have known about many things. And in fact, I get some of my information. I said, let me listen to Liz and see what the info is. So it's very important for people to have, you know, information to make the decisions in their best interest. So this is important why the fundraiser for the People's Weekly World, which is the Working Class Media and Democracy event, will take place today.
Tonight
at 7 o'clock. At the Friends Meeting House, and that's located 1001 Park in St. Louis. And if you have need any information, you can call 776-7732.
And I'll be speaking tonight along with some others.
We're really excited and looking forward to that. And I think we have pulled together representatives of our community that have been addressing issues on behalf of working people and poor people and putting clarity. You know, like I said, this is an event. This is an event. It's a but it's a process. We need to continue this dialogue of how we can best impact in a positive way on the news and information that our people, so they can shape and form, you know, opinions, right? Because I am of the belief that people do get the correct information, they generally make the correct decisions.
I believe that with all my heart.
Okay, so I look forward to seeing everyone this evening, and this is a process. This is a beginning of a road. This
That's
is
right.
Our second annual Working Class Media and Democracy, and like I say, it's something that's going to be going on and ever needed in our community. Thank you so much.
Zenobia, thank you so much. I'll see you tonight. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. And don't forget, our blanket drive, like Zenobia was just mentioning, will be this year. The second annual Wake Up Call blanket drive, we'll be having it at, of course, Carver House. Our friends and partners at Carver House will be helping us with this. And it's the 18th and the 19th. We're looking for volunteers. You can call during the course of this show at 454-6660. I'm asking you all to start planning ahead for this. We got blankets last year, brand new blankets, for $5. There are a lot of stores out there. The dollar stores sell blankets for $5. You can get some blankets for $5. Put $20 a week away. Because we have enough volunteers now. I'm so excited. And I'm only going to be asking for a few more days because we've had such an overwhelming response to our request for volunteers. But you know, there's no such thing as too much. We're going to have more than enough people that are going to be here at the station to do your curbside pickup. We're going to have your curbside pickup at Carver House. We're going to have this done the right way. And because we know we're going to be able to get 5,000 blankets this year. So start putting aside $20 a week. That's 5, 10, 15, 20. That means you'll have 20 blankets to give come November 18th and 19th. We're going to need your help on the 19th to hand the blankets and sleeping bags and everything out that we're getting. And we need your help on the Friday to pick them up at the curb. So give us a call here at 454-6660 to volunteer and start putting your money in and start thinking about how many blankets your business is going to turn in. How many blankets are your family? Is your family going to turn in? How many blankets are you going to turn in? We've got a big order ahead of us, folks. And I'm looking for your help and support in this. I'm Liz Brown. Coming up next, Healthy Futures. That's what we do on Friday. That's how we roll. In our brand new addition to the Wake Up Call, we're going to be giving back. We're going to, because we care. Packages that we put together for you in the last 15 minutes of the next hour. We're going to be asking you some questions about the shows that you've heard this week, and the first people to call in with the right answers will get a Because We Care package. It's going to have a book, Bush on the Couch, in it. It's going to have a t-shirt in it, Wake Up Call t-shirt, WGNU t-shirt, Wake Up Call cup, Wake Up Call magnets for your refrigerator, and some other goodies up in there. You don't want to miss the last 15 minutes of the last hour of the last day of the week on the Wake Up Call. It's your chance to get a Because We Care package. Stay tuned.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. He must feel like $1 million. Well, $340 million.
I still don't really believe that it's true. It just really hasn't sunk in well.
Steve West and three relatives chipped in about $40 and won the Powerball jackpot. He's a first-time player from Medford, Oregon, still showing up at work and not planning any big spending spree. West told ABC News Radio exclusively,
"We're talking to our financial planner Tuesday, and we're probably going to invest all of it, or 99% of it. That'll still leave us a good small amount that we can take a vacation or maybe buy some kind of a sports car."
And in the meantime, he says he hasn't slept well the past couple of nights. Former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay is in an Austin, Texas courtroom. His lawyers want the judge in his conspiracy and money laundering case to step aside. Will Hunt making his presence known along Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. The outer eye wall of the storm came ashore at Cozumel. ABC's David Carley is in Cancun.
It was a very busy day of getting tourists and residents out of here, but there's still about 30,000 tourists who are in the Cancun area, either in downtown or further down in some hotels. But this main hotel area evacuated as Wilma comes ashore. It is going to be a very long, dangerous day here in Cancun.
Now a Category 4 storm moving slowly. It could hit Florida's west coast by Monday. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
A mandatory evacuation is set to begin here at noon Eastern time. Police want everyone to leave. It's almost impossible to find fuel in this city. And hardware stores are packed with people trying to buy plywood to board up their homes.
I guess you're better off safe than sorry. Get it done, you know.
That man at the Home Depot store where generators and tarps are also in high demand. Alex Stone, ABC News, Naples, Florida.
Shot twice in the head, the lawyer for one of Saddam Hussein's co-defendants kidnapped yesterday from his Baghdad office. And three U.S. Marines have died in a roadside bombing in western Iraq. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Top three reasons I'm adding some cool new cordless tools to my collection. Number three, the Ryobi miter saw, 18 volts of cordless foam. Number two, a rigid combo kit with an impact driver. Sorry, that's a must have. And the number one reason, the prices are right where I like them, low.
Right now at the Home Depot, get a Ryobi cordless miter saw for just $99. Plus, get great deals on innovative new combo kits. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only.
A Chicago White Sox official says they have the best security in the world. The World Series against the Astros starts tomorrow night in Chicago with thousands of fans and cops on hand. A premiere on MTV tonight for Madonna of her tour documentary. She was at a screening in New York City the other night with a bunch of fans.
I was like sitting there in the theater at the back, you know, showing it to people for the first time. I mean, it was like a puddle of sweat around my feet. It's just like, oh my God, I hope I did the right thing. Oh, that scene's too long. Oh, that's too short. You know, just second guessing everything. Oh, are they going to get this part? Are they going to like this? And, you know, oh, they're going to think it's boring. And, you know, just worrying the whole way, biting all my fingernails off.
Later, she appeared on Letterman. She and Dave commiserated about something they share, recent falls off horses. And as a therapeutic exercise, they got back in the saddle.
All right, let's go. You ready to go? Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah, be careful.
No cantering, okay?
First one to the river.
Not bad, considering she was wearing heels. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning. WGNU News Time is now 9:04. This news report being brought to you by McDonald's. Sexual assault victims are getting more help from the state of Illinois. Attorney General Lisa Madigan has appointed a statewide coordinator for sexual assault nurse examiners within her office. Madigan says that coordinator is going to organize training programs across the state, encouraging the certification of Illinois nurses and increasing the number of sexual assault response teams throughout the state. Madigan also says specially trained nurses provide much better care to sexual assault victims, and they also ensure a higher standard of evidence collection. Madigan has appointed Julie Garner-Tino to fill the newly created position, which is going to be based in Springfield. Garner-Tino is a registered nurse and member of the International Association of Forensic Nurses. Illinois farmers need help because of this year's drought. That's the word from Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, who has sent a letter to the leaders of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Durbin is asking that funding to aid Illinois agricultural producers be included in the Senate Agricultural Appropriations Bill, alongside relief funding being designated for Hurricane Katrina. Durbin, a Democrat, says the state's two main cash crops are predicted to produce yields of at least 25% smaller harvests than last year. WGNU News Time is now 9:05. A resident at a St. Louis drug rehab center has been accused of killing his housemate. 41-year-old Jeffrey Garrett is charged with second-degree murder in the slashing death of Donald Baker. The 34-year-old man was killed on Wednesday night at the House of Brothers along the 2200 block of Warren. Police say the episode stemmed from an argument over some money. An electrical malfunction is believed to have caused an explosion at a St. Peter's City lot. Authorities say a trash truck exploded about 10:30 last night. The fire spread to two other trash trucks. No injuries reported in that blaze. WGNU News Time now 9:06. St. Louis area taxicab drivers are planning a protest this afternoon outside of the Taxicab Commission's office. The main issue surrounding this demonstration is against illegal fines, according to the organizers. This includes forcing cab drivers to wear uniforms even when off-duty and red-tagging cabs with cracked windshields, even though the cabs have passed a state inspection. The search continues for a man who allegedly abducted and assaulted a pregnant victim late last night. The man is described as white, 5'11", weighing 180 pounds. Investigators say the woman was abducted from a home on Vantage Road in unincorporated St. Louis County. Police chased the suspect's truck on northbound 55 before the man drove down an embankment and into the River de Pere at South Broadway near Marceau. He fled on foot, trapping the abduction victim in the vehicle. The victim sustained injuries from the assault and was transported to a local hospital. WGNU News Time, now 9:07. Missouri Congressman Lacey Clay says Iran's new missile capabilities are a threat to the U.S. and its allies. Clay's office says he's part of a bipartisan congressional team that yesterday heard testimony about Iran's support of Iraqi insurgents and its push to acquire nuclear weapons. Testifiers included representatives from the National Coalition of Pro-Democracy Advocates. That's a group that promotes freedom and human rights in Iran. And today marks National Day Against Police Brutality. And to commemorate the day, the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression will be holding a press conference in the rotunda of City Hall in about 30 minutes. Following the latest highly publicized beating incident in New Orleans, the coalition is calling for an independent process to review police misconduct and violence. WGNU News Time is now 9:07. This news being brought to you by McDonald's. You can make dinner easy with McDonald's. Their premium chicken sandwiches, chicken selects, and premium salads are all perfect for dinner. Now you can even rent a movie with your dinner, too, at McDonald's. I'm loving it. WGNU News Time is now 9:08. Time for the final look at traffic on this Friday morning. And traffic is being brought to you by GM Certified Used Vehicles. Traffic starting to get much better all over the place. Northbound 55 between Bayless and I-44 is normal volume. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Guyer is clear. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley Road, on the move at the speed limit. Eastbound 70 between 79 and the Blanchett Bridge, no problems to report there. No problems to report on westbound 270 around Lilac and New Florissant. Westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and Lemay Ferry Road, traffic normal at this hour. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, traffic starting to ease up now. Northbound 270 at Gravoy, traffic is getting better after an earlier accident there. Downtown on 5570 between 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic still a bit slow there. On the King Bridge, traffic's now better as you come into the Laclede's Landing area. On Riverview at West Florissant, there is still a signal problem there. Injury accident reported on eastbound 180, that's St. Charles Rock Road at 270. And in both directions on 255 at Camp Jackson Road over by Cahokia, there's construction going on right now. A couple of other construction notes to pass along to you. Illinois Highway 157 between Lewis Road and Ginger Creek Drive. Road construction in both directions. At Keeneland and Natural Bridge, construction crews are widening the roadway to four lanes there. Various closures at various times today. And on Old Halls Ferry between Dunn and Whisper Lake Drives, crews are working to widen the roadway there. Traffic brought to you by GM Certified Used Vehicles. If you have a used car problem, GM Certified owners tend to forget what they are. To find out more and find yourself a dealer, visit GMCertified.com or call 888-999-7880. GM Certified, no worries. WGNU News Time is now 9:10, and taking a look at the weather forecast for the WGNU listening area, we're calling for cloudy skies with a few patches of drizzle this morning and throughout the rest of the day as well. We'll have a high of around 60 degrees. Then for tonight, we can expect mostly cloudy skies, cooler temperatures with a low dropping down to around 45 degrees. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60. And looking ahead to Sunday, it's going to be a mostly cloudy day. We'll have a high in the lower 50s. Our current temperature reading at the studios of WGNU, high above the Central West End in beautiful St. Louis, it is 52 degrees. WGNU News Time is 9:11, and that's your news and traffic for the 9 o'clock hour. Stay tuned next for the final hour of the morning wake-up call with Liz Brown. We've got the Healthy Futures program coming up next, and then the brand-new giveaway and the latter part of this hour. So keep it right here on AM 920, Radio Free St. Louis. Next on Mondays at 9, why is the government giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton and its subsidiaries to rebuild the Gulf Coast when it's already under investigation for fraud, bribery, and other nice things? The Bush administration would not enforce accountability standards for Halliburton and Iraq, so let them perpetrate more fraud on American soil? What kind of a government are we running? Join Charlie Cray from Halliburton Watch for a discussion on the crooks and cronies of Halliburton on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Oh, welcome, welcome to Healthy Futures. I am Liz Brown, and I am here with Ms. Linda McKirkland. She's with Healthy Futures. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Liz. Welcome.
How are you?
I am doing great today. Even though it's an overcast day, it's still a beautiful day.
And I guess we begin where we always begin.
Again, I'd like to thank the listening audience for joining us every Friday and just sharing some information to continue to help the community know and understand that they have the power to take control of their own health. But we have to be informed and aware to make those different choices. We'd like to thank Eternity Deli and Support a Child International for making this segment possible. And thank you, Liz, for allowing us to come.
Absolutely. And what is our topic for today? How are we going to make our futures healthy today?
All right. Today we're going to talk about something that's kind of common in everyday, Liz. We're going to be talking about the fabrics and how that impacts the skin, particularly, even though it impacts the body, but the skin per se. Because a lot of times we are unaware of just the simple things of life. And so we're going to want to just begin those conversations.
I think this is a good time of the year, a good part of the season to begin talking about fabrics, because this is the time when it starts getting colder and we start wrapping ourselves mm-hmm. up, if you will, and putting things on our skin. So we need to really take a look at what are the things that we are allowing to touch our skin, how they impact on us, and right. maybe some different choices that we need to make to right. protect our overall health.
Right. The first thing that we just like to point out this morning is that, again, the body is it's a mind all by itself, Liz. Mm-hmm. It thinks and it acts to everything that we do, and so we think about and we look at our skin every day, but we really don't know and understand that, first of all, it's the largest organ in the body.
You certainly don't think of skin, most people don't think of skin as an organ.
It is. It's the largest organ. And it has openings. It has little pores. It breathes. It takes in things from the environment, from the clothing that we wear, the perfumes, the lotions, everything.
The air that we breathe.
Mm-hmm. So, again, the same concept with the fabrics that we lay on the body every day has an impact on the skin itself. Now, of course, Liz, you know, we live in an environment where everything has to be quick. It's a quick fix. is convenient. And so even the fabric industry understands that too. Just like you can go to a fast food restaurant and get a quick meal, you can get fabric now that doesn't need any ironing. It's like, who has time to iron?
Mm-hmm.
You have washing wear. You have, I got to put this on right now and I got to go. And it has caused a whole industrial revolution in terms of the fabrics, because now you have fabrics like rayon, your synthetics, your polyesters, your blends, and what they do with in the fabric industry, they will even take the natural fabrics like the cottons. Now, Liz, where fabrics used to be 100% cotton, it's getting almost a challenge to find it, because they're blending the natural fabrics with the synthetics and the polyesters to make it easier to wash and wear.
So, and also, it makes it easier, I suspect, doesn't it make it easier for the industry to stretch out the value of cotton?
Absolutely.
By adding synthetics to it and having that cotton piece of it as well.
It's like a watered-down juice,
mm-hmm,
or something of that nature. But nonetheless, the effect of it, it does not water that down at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is with the synthetics and the polyesters, they're really chemicals, and that are produced and made into fabrics. And so when they touch the body or they are on the body, especially for long periods of time, the pores actually take in the fumes, the chemicals, the fibers.
And if we can just back up just for a little bit, Linda, there are chemicals that come on fabrics as a result of just the materials that's used, mm-hmm, to weave the fabric together, that it's a polyester, that it's a rayon.
Mm-hmm.
There's chemicals inherent in that. But there are also chemicals involved in the finishing of the product.
Yes.
A shirt that is, yes, nicely stiff and all,
right,
of that kind of stuff. There's,
right,
chemicals that have gone into that as well.
Right.
I have a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine. And I've never done this because I guess I'm hooked like a lot of Americans are. I like the way that it looks when it's on the rack, that the newness of it.
Absolutely.
I don't like the shiny apple. Yeah, exactly. It's like that. But I have a girlfriend of mine. She washes all of her clothes before,
yes,
she puts them on, and she washes,
yes,
all of her son's clothes before he puts them on. She doesn't let any of that stuff touch her body. And is that something that people really should think about doing or considering changing their habits into doing?
Absolutely. We found that on the there's a finishing product, mm-hmm, that they put on the fabrics. As a matter of fact, I went to, being a seamstress myself, I went one time to a fabric store, and I went to buy, it was a piece of dark cloth, and it was real shiny. And then the female who helped me, she told me, she said, well, make sure you wash that. And I said, why? She said, because they put preservatives on the fabrics,
mm,
to make them, again, it's like shelf life,
mm-hmm,
to make them look good and to make the fabric seem crisp,
mm,
and you know, the appearance and everything. So
there was a time to be a seamstress, you wash the clothes or you wash the fabric
before you even for
shrinkage purposes, not for chemical. Nowadays,
right,
you have to wash it to,
right,
get rid of the chemical part,
right,
of it.
Absolutely. So again, it's the same concept, Liz, as the shiny apple versus the apple you pick off a tree.
Mm-hmm. Or the organic apple.
Or the organic apple. If given the industry, if people have a choice, they will buy the shiny apple or,
mm-hmm,
the shiny fabric,
mm-hmm,
because it's more appealing, it looks better, and we don't always equate it with good health.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be a good practice for people to wash their new garments that they purchase. And, it won't have that new look,
mm-hmm,
on it, no.
Well, but if you get an iron out and some starch out,
right,
you will give it some of that new look
that's
back.
That's old school.
Yeah.
That's old school. And we're, again, advocating for, although we have to consider we live in a fast-paced, I don't have time, I need it quick, give it to me now kind of society, Liz. And it's going to be those people who have to make those real conscious decisions in,
mm-hmm,
terms of if they're going to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we always advocate for a transitional change. when you buy, if you buy just one pack of pair cotton underwear, you know, just throw them in the wash.
Mm-hmm. Before you wear
them. Before you wear them. Mm-hmm. Before you wear them. Mm-hmm. And then at least whatever residues are on the fabric, at least you'll have an opportunity in that area, especially in the most intimate areas that you want to, you know, make sure that you cover.
And I think that we, many of us, are so programmed for trust. I think that we're hardwired for trust. And because we lead busy lives, we, kiss it and give a prayer up to God, you know, or the 3 second rule. If it's on the ground for 3 seconds, you can still eat it. But if it's on there for longer than 3 seconds, you can't eat it. It's part of that trust and part of that busyness and part of that, you know, you just don't want to have to do something else.
Yes.
But we should really think about it. Somebody else has had their hands all over your underwear before they get to the plastic bag that they're in.
Absolutely.
You know, and or even when you go to, say, like a Marshall's, and they have these big bins for women's underwear. Right. I don't see men's underwear as not put in a bin for people to just filter through.
Finger it and
go through it. Women's underwear, women's bras, women, all of that stuff, they're in bins. And if we really thought about what we're doing, do you really want to put on underwear? Are they really new underwear when somebody else has been
trying them on?
You don't know. You should be washing this stuff before you do it. And chemicals aside, just for your own hygiene, you need to be washing this stuff.
Yes, it reminds me. I was in the buying bulk food one day, and I heard a gentleman tell his son, "Oh no, we don't buy bulk because you're eating whatever's on that person's hands."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the natural thing is, you don't put your hands in a bulk food section or aisle or bin.
Mm-hmm.
But some people do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the same concept. And then we have to just be remindful, again, to the listening audience, we're just making the information available, because a lot of times we don't always think about everything.
No, you don't. You can't.
And we're not supposed to think about everything, but to always keep things on the table so that, you know, people can make informed decisions about what they want to do. So they can decide now, Liz, am I going to be buying packaged underwear, or am I going to get something off this bin?
Mm-hmm.
And if I get something off this bin, then definitely let me put it in the wash.
Put it in the washer. And for my own peace of mind and for my own health.
For your own peace of mind. And then for those men and women who are doing sewing or seamstresses or anything of that nature, to make sure, because we don't have to worry about the fabric shrinking anymore. Sometimes fabric comes pre-shrunk, and so you don't have to do that anymore. But just the fact that you're washing it, or if you're going to sew it, then some people make it and then put it in the cleaners.
Yes.
You know, so there are different alternatives of what you can do. But the fact is, you want to make sure that you're choosing fabrics where you don't have, first of all, you're choosing natural fabrics. Mm-hmm. That's number one.
And tell us what the natural fabrics are that we need to be taking a look out for.
Definitely, and it's the all-time favorite, is cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go and look on labels, you can look for the label. It will actually say 100% cotton, 100% cotton, or 100% silk, or 100% wool. Now, and when we say wool, why wool as a natural fabric? First of all, it does come from an animal, Liz, but you don't have to kill the animal to get it, as if you were wearing leather.
There you go.
You can't get leather without slaughtering something.
Mm-hmm. Nobody, you don't give up your skin. Without dying.
You would not want my skin to make a jacket out of it.
Okay, but if you did, you'd die to get it. You can't.
That'd be painful.
I know. And the other piece of it is that we have the three different types. We have the cotton, we have the wool, and then we have the one more, the silk.
And the silk. Mm-hmm. And then you can also get the 100% linen also.
Mm-hmm.
As long as... And let me tell you a little test. Even if you are in the fabric store, let's say, and if you find some fabric that has undetermined fibers, I have no idea what that means. That's scary, Liz.
Well, you know, it's kind of like in the food industry. I felt so stupid. I was talking to my doctor, Rosie Kincaid, and I was, you know, trying to cut down on calories and trying not to eat badly. And I said, well, you know, they have that spray. I can't believe it's not butter. And I said, you know, can I can use that. And because I said, you know, what's in it? She goes, well, if you can't believe it's not butter, what is it? You know, so why are you putting this in you? What is it? If they can't believe it's not butter, what is it that you're putting into your body? So it's if they can't tell you what it is, know that it's nothing natural.
Absolutely.
And it's nothing that is that nature put out in any kind
absolutely.
Of respect.
Absolutely. But you can always, if you want to be sure, you can always do what we call the burn test.
Mm-hmm.
Take a strip of fabric and set it afire. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, cautiously. Those of us who sew, and if you see black fumes emanating from the fabric, it has something in there that's not natural.
And something, something not good for you. We have to take a quick break, but before we do, I just want to take one quick minute, if I may. This is an indulgence of mine. But I just want to let everybody know, because I'm going to need your prayers and support, I'm starting my fast on Monday. On Sunday. I'm starting a 14-day fast, a cleansing fast, on Sunday.
Great.
So I just want everybody's good wishes and prayers out there to help me through this.
Please let me treat.
That's what I'm doing. I'm cleaning it all out. Let me get to. We're going to hold this caller. We'll hold this caller over. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. We're here with Linda McKirklin, and we are talking about healthy futures, and in particular the fabrics that we put on our bodies. What we need to be looking for, what we need to be thinking about, what we need to always take care about, and don't forget to make sure the good stuff that you put in your body get on over to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. Every day is a soul food buffet. It's just so
vegan
healthy.
Cuisine.
Vegan cuisine. I like that. Vegan cuisine. I love that. That's exactly what you get when you go over to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. Get on over there. Try it. It's that nesting time of the year, folks. You want to get something good and solid in your system, get some lasagna today. It's a good lasagna day. Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. Stay with us. We'll be back with Healthy Futures.
Tell us why you listen to WGNU. Drop a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, 63108. Listen for the winner through October 28th during Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan.
Camp fishing isn't just a summertime sport. Find out at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Friday, October 21st from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Learn techniques and tricks for night fishing. You must have a valid fishing license to participate in this catch and release program. To find out more, call 636-441-4554. Fishing news to you from WGNU.
The most exciting movie you'll ever see is coming Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. to Trinity Tabernacle in Bridgeton. Left Behind, World at War continues the story of the best-selling books Left Behind and Tribulation Force, which follow the lives and struggles of those left behind on Earth after the rapture of the church. Stars include Oscar winner Louis Gossett Jr., Kirk Cameron, Chelsea Noble, and Gordon Currie. You won't find this film at any theater because Trinity Tabernacle shares the vision of Cloud 10 Pictures and the Left Behind film franchise with a new kind of outreach. The first motion picture ever to open in churches, not theaters. Proceeds will benefit the growing ministries of Trinity Tabernacle. Get more information by calling 314-291-8839. 314-291-8839. Don't be left out. See Left Behind, World at War, Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton.
Hi, this is James Wakeman. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train every Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
And the whole world still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Searching high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found.
This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Healthy Futures. I'm here with Linda McKirkland, and we're talking about the fabric and the largest organ of, on your body, your, the skin. Let me get to a couple of callers. Yes.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning.
Much success on your fast.
Thank you.
Linda?
Yes, ma'am.
I've been running in and out of the house listening in between. I don't know if you mentioned when you did say the largest organ of the body, you know, about dry cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? You know, like when people have, they take their clothes out of dry cleaner,
no,
they can let it air out for a while.
Well, not because go ahead.
That stuff will give you kidney failure.
Well, I don't know about the kidney failure component of it, Dolores,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
One of the things that people need to do is to be aware of dry clean, or to remind themselves that dry cleaning is a chemical
mm-hmm.
process,
right.
And there are, and if you can smell mm-hmm. chemicals on your clothes when you bring them back from the dry cleaners,
mm-hmm.
that means that the dry cleaner is using a very cheap process.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take your clothes to a dry cleaners where you can smell the chemicals on your clothes when you bring them back. And no amount of airing out will take that chemical out of your clothing. All that does is it dissipates, but that the fabric holds on to that chemical. So
right.
a lot of the cheaper places, the 49 cents a shirt
mm-hmm.
type of a place,
mm-hmm.
you smell the chemicals in there. You need to not take your clothes to places where you can still smell the chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Thank
wow,
you.
Good point. Thank
454-0400. It is my phone number. You have a question? Yes, caller.
Yeah. I heard you talking about our soldiers burning the Taliban bodies.
Actually, we're talking about Healthy Futures right now. This is our Healthy Futures component. And, Linda, we wanted to move on to what did we want to move on to?
We wanted to begin to talk about some of the effects of the different fabrics that are on our bodies on a daily basis. Again, and we can equate a lot of things, but our whole environment, again, is a toxic environment that we've mentioned and said over and over and over again. But sometimes we don't even understand why we get little skin rashes
mm-hmm.
on our bodies. We don't understand that our skin is reacting to the chemicals from our clothing, the fibers, the unnatural fibers from our clothing, and you get rashes or you get itching.
Mm-hmm.
And also on the latter end is also the skin cancers
mm-hmm.
because the pores and the fibers are interacting with each other. It's like when you lay on carpet, you feel something sticky
mm-hmm. or stingy
or even stingy.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, that's just letting you know that there's something in that carpet that is itchy, and you know all kind of things are happening, and it happens without your knowledge.
And one of the things that I want to remind people of is something that you brought to the show almost from the very show, that the very first show that we had here, is that people, I know your lives are busy, and I know that there's a lot to do out here, but we have to be attuned to the things our bodies are telling us.
You got to be.
And you have to just be kind of like Columbos with your body, bodies, particularly with the way the health care is and particularly with the way how expensive health care is. You have to be Columbos people. You have to be Sherlock Holmeses with your bodies to watch and see, make the connects with,
mm-hmm.
okay, I had this shirt on today. I had a rash yesterday. There's
right.
something about that
right.
shirt. You have to be very attentive.
Or it was itchy.
It was itchy, you
mm-hmm.
know, and if we're not talking about wool,
right.
you know, which is naturally itchy to most people. We're talking about the things that we put on our body. I know that a couple summers ago, I went to L.A. and I bought a bedspread in L.A. I brought it back home, and when I brought it back home, it was beautiful. It was just
mm-hmm.
And it was a tremendous deal. I bought it there on Canal Street, and when I brought it back home, my nose started getting, and it was wintertime,
mm-hmm.
but nose started getting really, really congested. I would wake up, couldn't breathe. I
wow.
would wake up coughing, and I thought I was just catching a cold or that there was something, that there was dust or something in the air. And so I had to backtrack, and it took me about several weeks to figure out what it was that was causing this new thing, because I don't have a congestion problem. I don't have allergies, and I had to go through, I might go starting allergies, but you have to be a detective and hunt down that
right.
thing that is causing your body to do it. And you can do it if you just are attentive to it.
Right. If you just listen to your body and just be aware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Liz, with the fabrics that we wear, and I want to talk particularly about some jean fabrics, especially for females and the way that the jeans now are cut. And again, jean is denim, which is supposed to be 100% cotton,
mm-hmm.
and cotton needs to breathe. But when you have a skin tight garment, it doesn't matter if it's natural fabric or unnatural fabric, the body still can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And with the low rise jeans, they've shown that I've read some studies where they've shown that the way that they are positioned on the female body,
mm-hmm.
that first of all, they're extremely tight. The body does not have ease of movement. It does not have breathing room. It keeps air trapped into a very important part of the woman's body where mm-hmm. air should be circulating.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, when you sit down, it actually cuts off the circulation
mm.
and it causes numbness.
Mm-hmm.
And females who wear them, they can testify that that is the case. It causes numbness because right up around the where the hip joins to the leg, you can see when you sit down, it forms like a crease,
mm-hmm.
and it cuts off circulation. So again, we have to be very careful that even whatever fabric we're wearing, and you should be wearing natural fabrics whenever possible, and when we're choosing clothing, and clothing should really be loose.
Absolutely, it should be loosely fitted. But and if you're going to wear tight clothing, you certainly don't wear it every day. You certainly don't wear it every day.
Right.
And then for the females out there, everybody should know that females should be wearing cotton crushed underwear.
Yes.
Okay. Cotton crushed. So when
yes.
you add the tight cotton jeans
mm-hmm.
to somebody that is not wearing any a cotton crush item, then there are huge problems for the female
right.
as a result of that. So
right.
mothers and fathers, you need to be attentive to this for your daughters.
Right.
Women, you need to be attentive to this for your, because if you're finding yourself getting infections, if you're finding yourself
right.
having problems, look at what you're wearing and how you're wearing
Absolutely.
It and how long you're wearing it, and you can stop it.
Right, that's true. And again, that's the kind of control that we're talking about, you know, people having, because whatever's happening to the body, Liz, you can find a reason for it,
mm-hmm.
no matter how big, no matter how small.
Yes, you can.
It's like for me, when my face started breaking out, I could not figure out what I was doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just stopped, and I knew it had to be something that I was eating or consuming. And I began to take out little things, and I realized that I had become allergic to things, the one thing that I really liked, which was nuts.
Mm.
Now, I'm still trying to figure out which nut.
Mm-hmm.
Is it pecans? Is it a walnut? Sunflower seeds?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Brazil? I mean, what? I'm
mm-hmm.
still figuring
mm-hmm.
that out. But I had to figure it out because my body began to react to something I really like.
Isn't that always the case? Let me get to another caller here. You have a question for our guest.
Kind of a comment on the health deal. I've just figured out those of us that have soreness or rashes up under the breast, it can come from washing the upper body, washing under the arms, the deodorant under your arms, and then washing your breast. And I find that it causes irritation. So those of us that do that the deodorant is
Absolutely.
Causing
right.
the problem.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's good detective work. You just
right.
have, don't you have to be a good detective for your body? Caller?
Yeah.
You just
yes.
have to be
yes,
a good
detective.
Yes.
Because that's why the old people used to have us using three different towels when we used to take a bath in the big
school.
Round tub. We washed our face
yeah.
with one towel, we washed our body
mm-hmm.
and with another towel. So that deodorant can cause a lot of problems even in the vaginal area.
Right.
So be careful with that.
Very good. Thanks, caller.
That's a great point, because that takes me back to my grandmother, and it was always you had two faces,
mm-hmm.
you know, your upper face and your lower face, and you never use the same towel
mm-hmm.
to do the washing and the cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the bra tip, if you think back also to women wearing bras, the bras with the underwire also are causes of problems for females in terms of having it next to the skin, because again, it becomes a pressure point. And of course, I mean, some of us who don't have a whole lot to work with, but you know, with the underwires, they're supposed to provide support, but don't always wear them every day either.
Well, some of us don't have a choice.
Well, so I know. I just say some of us don't have that issue.
Okay.
But be careful, because you know, we can and the industry can really make things more sturdier,
mm-hmm.
without all of the extra things that they put to.
Mm-hmm.
That can be harmful for the bodies, but it does not allow the skin right under the breast where the wires are,
mm-hmm.
to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And so even sometimes when you just shift them a little bit, or you know, don't wear them every day, but make some minor adjustments to it.
And let's take another caller. Yes, you have a question.
Yes, they had a special on 2020 last week about different kind of germs people can catch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was going to take issue with the veterinarian, he was, I don't know if a lot of people are saying this, he's saying that it was okay for a dog to lick you in the face.
Oh, ew, ew, ew,
and,
ew.
And it's not germs. It's not sure your kids dogs. Have all their shots. And I said, oh, my God.
Oh, that's nasty.
I see a lot of people are having to do that. You know, I love animals, too, but I don't, you know, let them do that. Now, I know you probably seen a commercial where they have a little baby on the commercial and have the dog licking the baby in the face.
It grosses me out. It grosses me out. It grosses me out for people to have dogs in their kitchens, to have their animals in their kitchens, and I don't know, maybe it's just some of the people tell themselves, because they know they're not going to change their behavior, that, oh, it's okay for a dog. No, it's not.
Exactly. I can't understand that. Why would somebody get on there and say that it's okay for, you know, the veterinarian, of course, he would say that, you know, it's okay for the dog licking your face, it's not going to hurt you. I said, and you know where dogs put their mouth.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. And again, the skin takes in everything. The skin takes in everything.
Okay, that's truly nasty. Right. Truly nasty. Thank you for sharing that
okay.
with us.
Right.
And we've got to wrap it up here. I mean, we went to a different place than we planned on going, but it's all related about the environment that we have our skin in.
Absolutely.
We just have to be concerned about the environment for our skin. It's not just our face. It's not just our hands. It's the largest organ in the body, our skin.
Absolutely. And it's the most visible thing, too, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you want to do all you can to protect it and preserve it naturally as possible.
Mm-hmm. And so where do we end where we always end? Can we end where we always end?
Again, we'd just like to thank Support a Child International and Attorney Deli for allowing us to bring this segment to you, Liz, every Friday morning. And again, our quote for today is, I will do my skin right.
There we go.
I will do my skin right.
Very good. And please don't forget about doing your skin right. We can get you on over to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. Oh, man. Vegan cuisine?
Vegan cuisine.
Vegan cuisine. That's where you need to go. 11 South Euclid. They have wonderful soul food buffet every single day. Fabulous. Vegan cuisine. That's the best way I can think of to describe it. Get on over there. Tell them I told you to. Ms. Linda, I will see you next week.
Okay. Thank you. It's just briefly. Next show is the cooking demo.
Yay!
We're gonna do a veggie taco.
Ooh, all right.
This is for the cheering.
All right, for the cheering. We're gonna do a veggie taco. Okay, and folks, get on the lines at 454-0400. We have two, maybe three, wonderful Because We Care packages to give away for you. If you can answer some of the questions about the shows from this last week, we have a book, Bush on the Couch, and we also have, how's this for an extra special treat, an audio book of Walter Mosley's A Little Scarlet, read by Michael Boatman. This is a wonderful, wonderful gift as part of our We Care For You wake-up call package. You'll get a cup, a wake-up call mug, a T-shirt, and some other goodies. So you want to get in line. You want to get on the line to see if you can answer a question based on one of the shows that we've had this incredible, incredible week. Get to us at 454-0400. We've got some wonderful gifts for you because we care. We care for you. Stay with us.
With their lies, and I want to walk with you on a cloudy day in fields where the yellow grass grows.
You're looking to get into real estate. Where do you go? What do you do?
call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Properties available from $50,000 to $200,000. Available with no money down. Take your choice of area, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, or St. Charles County. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Get into the game. Make the first move. Call Lisa Krempaski, 629-7830. That's Lisa Krempaski, 314-629-7830. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. An aide to former Secretary of State Colin Powell said a small clique in the Bush administration has managed to hijack America's foreign policy, leaving this country weaker and more isolated in the world community. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Chief of Staff for Secretary Powell, said the United States is now paying the consequences of making decisions in secret by a cabal between Vice President Cheney and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. He says the detainee abuse at Abu Ghraib and other institutions is a perfect example of the decision-making problem that plagues the administration. Wilkerson says Condoleezza Rice exacerbated the problems by sucking up to the president to the extent that she would not give him the best advice, only the advice he wanted to hear so she could stay on his good side. He also says this President Bush does not have a handle on international relationships the way his father did, and this Bush does not seem to have much of an interest for such matters either. And Dateline Washington, Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania is not happy with the way Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers answered a questionnaire pertaining to her legal career and background. Specter says both he and Senator Patrick Leahy feel she did not provide enough information, and in fact, some of her answers range from incomplete to downright insulting. Some issues they want more details about include her suspension from the bar in Washington for not paying her annual dues. They also wanted her to give more direction on how she might handle cases dealing with the Bush administration, where she now serves as a White House counsel. Myers' legal career has been made up almost entirely of representing large corporate clients. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Next on Mondays at 9, why is the government giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton and its subsidiaries to rebuild the Gulf Coast when it's already under investigation for fraud, bribery, and other nice things? The Bush administration would not enforce accountability standards for Halliburton in Iraq, so let them perpetrate more fraud on American soil? What kind of a government are we running? Join Charlie Cray from Halliburton Watch for a discussion on the crooks and cronies of Halliburton on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, where else, where else, where else? 3425 Union. They have wonderful sales going on. 20% off closeout items, televisions, refrigerators, stoves, treadmills, DVDs, DVRs, CD players, every letter of the alphabet is represented at the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. You need to get on over there. They have great deals. It's black owned. It's black operated. You have an apartment building that you need to put a few refrigerators in, put a few stoves in. Why wouldn't you go to the only black owned and operated Sears at Union and Natural Bridge? Get your shop on with Jerome Williams over there at the corner of Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, where else?
Former Tennessee State University graduate students and associates are invited to the annual membership roundup on Saturday, October 29th at the Grand Marais Golf Course, 5802 Lake Drive in Centerville, Illinois. The roundup will be from 1 to 4:30 p.m. Lunch will be served from 1 to 3, and reservations are $20 per person. To make your reservations, call 618-398-4749, 618-791-8071, or 214-839-1059. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to our, it's the last day of the week, it's the last hour of the show, it's the last 15 minutes of the last hour of the last day of the week of the show, and it's time to, let's check your minds, okay, and see if you all can get a Because We Care package from the Wake Up Call. Our first giveaway, the first Because We Care package is going to have in it Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President, because we have the author, Dr. Justin A. Frank, on this week. That's going to be our first Because We Care for you package, and no, we're not mailing this out to you. You need to come on down to the station at 265 Union, Suite 1300. That's the 13th floor. You need to come pick your Because We Care Wake Up Call package. All right. And the question is, let's see if y'all were paying attention out here. Name me three ways that Dr. Frank described George W. Bush being sadistic. What were the three different ways that that George W. Bush exhibited his sadism? Yes. What's your name, please? Who's this? Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes. Who is this?
Regina.
Regina, can you answer that question?
When was I think with the frogs with the child blowing them up?
Okay. Wait a minute. Stick in doing what specifically to the frogs?
Frogs.
When would
blowing up with firecrackers.
Okay, very good. That's one.
That's one. The two was the pledges.
The what?
The pledges, when he was pledging for, he was a pledge captain at his university.
That's right.
Branding the pledges.
Very good. Okay.
The third one, I think it was just his sarcastic wit with people.
Very good. The put downs. The put downs. Very good.
Thank you.
Bam! Right off the, you were paying attention. Good for you. You get an A and you get a Because We Care package. I will put you on hold, Ms. Regina, and let Joe get your information. And come on down to the station and pick up your copy of Bush on the Couch. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Thank you.
454-0400. Wow, I thought I was going to have to do more than one on that. See? Paying attention. That's good stuff. 454-0400 is our phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. On Tuesday of this week, our next gift is going to be the next item in the Because We Care package. We're checking out what you know, what you remember from the wake-up call this last week. We're going to have a T-shirt. We're going to have a wake-up call mug. We're going to have some wake-up call little refrigerator magnets. We're going to have an audio book. This is so cool. Audio book of Little Scarlet. This is the latest novel by Walter Mosley. So it makes sense that we would be giving out an audio book. Because this is radio. So you can just pop this when you're not listening to the wake-up call. You can just pop in one of these cassettes and listen to the audio book, Little Scarlet, read by Michael Boatman. You know Michael Boatman. He was on Law & Order, Spin City, Arliss. Remember him on Arliss? He's reading it, a Little Scarlet, Walter Mosley novel. Okay, the question is, give me three different inconsistencies that were presented by the prosecutor on the case of Marlon Gray. We had on Tuesday the story of Marlon Gray. Remember Marlon Gray on death row? Can anybody tell me some of the inconsistencies that we described, that Marlon described when they presented his case to the jury? What's your name? Good morning. Good morning.
I can't do it, Liz.
Oh, you can't do it? You can't do it? Okay.
No,
that's all right. Try again next week. Okay. Can you do it? What's your name? What's your name?
Call? Joyce.
Yes, Joyce?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us some of those?
I believe one inconsistency was when he said the cousin lied about being on the jumping in the bridge into the water and
okay.
coming out with no mud or anything on him.
Very good. That's one.
One of the girls, they said that she wasn't pushed, but she jumped in the water to save the other girl that they pushed over.
Okay.
And I think the other one was when he said that when he said when they said that he was gonna plead the rape, and when he said that, well, I said that I raped her because I know I didn't rape her, and I thought that with the DNA test that would kind of exonerate him.
That he knew that it would exonerate him because he didn't rape her, and
right.
the physical evidence would not match.
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to put congratulations.
You're
the winner. Thank you very much. And we're coming to the end of the show. Don't worry, folks. Just pay attention all next week. We'll have some more at the end of the week because we care for you. Wake up call packages, folks. Next week, we're going to have some more special gifts. You don't want to miss the last 15 minutes of the last hour of the last day of the week on the wake up call. Because we'll have some more Because We Care For You packages. Congratulations to the winners, and I'll be talking to all of you all same time, same place next week. Here's what I need you to do. Stay strong.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Tom DeLay comes out swinging.
The only reason I had to be in that courtroom today was because Ronnie Earl has abused his prosecutorial power, and he's pursued these contrived and baseless charges.
The former House Majority Leader appeared